Blog Talk Radio.
Rich Money, and welcome to another episode of Lover Entertainment here on GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we did a repeat episode, so if you want to check out that episode for last weekend, go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace, That's GEEPUE Palace, and check out the archives. Tonight, we have another banger for y'all. We got my man Barry James back with another GQ General question. You know how he do with his questions. He's going to fill y'all in on the topic. The lines is already flooded. All you got to do is press one to go on the air and join in on the topic. That's with Barry James from 6 to 7. Then from 7 to 8, we have Mr. Exclusive in the building, up-and-coming artist. And we're going to play his smash and tingle, The Business, that's hitting the nation real hard, and find out what's his inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist. Then, from 8 to 9, we have Kenny Walker. And we're going to talk about his novel that he's not even finished yet, that everybody is talking about, 60 Minutes from Hell. And he's going to fill us in on the topics. I'm pretty sure his novel, his book that he got, is extremely fire. It's going to be something you want to read about. And what really got me is he hasn't even finished the book, and he just spreaded the word, and everybody is talking about it. So we're going to talk to him as well. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with Barry James and his DP General question. We're going to get into a little joint by my man Elias real fast. I don't know if y'all know who Elias is. He's that man that made that club banger, Follow Me. This is one of his exclusives that didn't even hit the air yet. It's called Beautiful. And after this single right here, we're going to come back with Barry James and his GQ General question. This is Rich Money, GQ Palace Radio. Love and entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
For sure.
You're beautiful, yes.
This is Elias, and you're listening to Rich Money on GQ Palace Radio. Yes. Follow me, yeah.
You're beautiful, yes. Inside. You're beautiful, yes.
So hey, hey, it's Kim. Beautiful. On Friday nights, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment, yes, on GQ Palace Radio. It's butter, baby.
I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment on GQ Palace Radio. It's butter, baby.
In and outside. In and outside.
Friday night, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment on GQ Palace Radio.
Particular way, You're beautiful, yes. In and outside.
What's up, my brother Rich? How you doing, man?
All right.
And I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for the GQ Palace and you and Lavina and TC Holland for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, no problem. Thanks a lot for joining us. Now, the line is flooded. Let the listeners know a little something about yourself before we get into the general question topic.
Yeah, my name is Barry James, and I've been a Christian for 10 years, and you know, I'm just happy to be part of the GQ Palace, and I like to speak the truth because, you know, a lot of people just live fake or whatever, and tonight's topic is about your attitude, because your attitude means everything in life, you know, with your relationships, with your job, with everything, and with your kids, and it's how you perceive and everything else, and with your attitude will dictate how far you're going to go, because even if you're a smart person, or have a lot of wisdom or whatever, if you have a bad attitude, you're not going to go anywhere. It's going to take you out. So, and if you're not that smart, you have common sense, and you have a good attitude, you're going to go far. It's all about your attitude, you know. And a lot of times, and I'm going to share where I had a lot, but I had a bad attitude, you know, because I got prideful and stuff, and then, you know, you can lose a lot of stuff, you know. And so I'm just being honest, whatever. So, you know, like I said, I've had a roller coaster life, and and I look back and say, you know, what is it? And it was my attitude a lot because I had a lot of bitterness in my heart and I carried a lot of, you know, bad attitude, whatever. And, you know, you try to blame other people for it, but then you look back and really be honest with yourself and it's your attitude. Your attitude perceives everything and your perception on how people see you. So that's what I want to share tonight. And I like people to call in and share their experiences, whatever. And I'm just going to share, you know, a little bit of mine, how my attitude, it made good things and bad. So that's what it's about tonight.
Well, I'm going to give my point of view on that as well, but we also have somebody on the line that want to come on the air. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here. This is Kenny.
Oh, okay. Kenny.
Hey, Kenny, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Brother Barry. How you doing tonight? Hey, Brother Rich, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Kenny? But you know what I'm going to say real fast? My thing is with the attitude. See, sometimes you gotta have an attitude because a lot of people take your kindness for a weakness.
There you go.
And that's the bad part about it, because sometimes people give you an attitude. And when they give you that attitude, you know, it's like you're the bad person. But when I was being nice, you took it as me being the weakest person and the softest person. So now that I got this attitude, you want to call me ruthless and mean and everything. But sometimes people make your attitude, give you that specific attitude to make you, you know, go to that extreme because they take the kindness for a weakness.
That's my point. That's my point because I'm a good-hearted person, and I do react on my emotions, and I do get taken advantage of. And a lot of times that's when my attitude does come up because you do have to step up and defend yourself, especially when people try to judge you, whatever, from your past or just in general. You got to have that attitude to, like, put them in their place, too. You know, you have to do that, too. So it is a two-way street on that. That's right, Rich. You're 100% right about that.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, Kenny, go ahead, brother.
Okay, all right, brother. You know, you're I'm agreeing with you there. You know, it is an attitude. You know, the attitude that I know that I had in the past was I didn't care. You know, that don't give a attitude.
Right.
You know, in life, you know, and I lost a lot of things because of that attitude.
Yeah.
That I had. I lost a lot of really good paying jobs that I had in my past because of my attitude, you know, about me, you know, and selfishness that came, you know, that bad attitude, thinking, hey, man, I'm all that in a pack of potato chips.
Right.
You know, and then when somebody, you know, those Lay's potato chips too, you know, the one that you just can't eat one.
Right.
You know, and it was, and I lost a lot of things.
Yeah.
I lost a lot of respect, you know, from even, you know, loved ones, you know, and a lot of friends that they didn't want to be around me.
Yeah.
You know, because of that attitude.
Right.
You know, that I carried. And I thank God that God worked on that for me.
Right.
You know, to show. And then, yeah, there is that time that today is that it, people perceive it as a weakness that we are because we're nice. You know, we have that, you know, that attitude of just a really Jesus Christ-like attitude, you know, and they think they could walk right over us.
Like a doormat. A doormat.
They're just like
exactly.
A doormat because we are Christians.
Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
You know.
Hold on, I have another call on the line. Hello,
okay,
caller,
all right.
Name of where you from? Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes,
Alexandria
calling for me.
Okay, there you go. Okay. You want to, yeah, bye, bye.
Yes, yes. Yes, I believe this is a good topic to talk about because usually as a woman, when you think of attitude, a lot of people project it off onto women. Like women have attitudes, and what we fail to realize, there's many types of attitudes. You know, you have the attitude of your environment. You have the attitudes of the certain friends you hang around. And then you do have the attitude of Christianity, you know, walking like Christ. Me personally, I believe God saved me because of that, because of the attitude that I have. Because you can have that attitude and help people, you know, encourage people, build them up. Because some people need that strong type of attitude that you have, you know. Because sometimes you can surround yourself around with people who have, you know, low self-esteem. So if you have that strong personality, which, you know, what an attitude is your personality. If you have that strongness, you can bring them up to where they need to be at to walk inside the kingdom that God has given them. So, you know, when you point on to attitude, I mean, you got to really think about it. That's like something really deep because, you know, people can have the sweetest attitude in the world and just, you know, just in a nasty environment, just be in a nasty environment. And that environment can make them go from loving you to basically trying to, you know, rip your head off. And it's not even them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even them. It's just the situation that they're in. And so yeah, you know, when you think about attitude, it's a lot. It's a lot of things that you can talk on or people can say about it. You know, like I said, when I hear attitude, I think women because this is all I knew all my life. Men and older women would say, you got a bad attitude. You know, that's the problem with you young women today. You got these attitudes, you know. Attitudes that won't get you that far. And sometimes it gets you further than where you think you should be at. You know, because you got that strong attitude and you battle.
Can I ask you something? We have another call in line. But the female that's speaking, I'm going to bring on the other call in a minute. But I just want to ask, is that, like you said, a lot of people say women have this bad attitude. Do you feel that's something that, it was due to the family situation or due to a bad relationship or it just was naturally born with this attitude?
I say family. Everything starts at home. Everything starts at home. I can say, you know, I used to say to people my mother was a strong black woman. And that strongness that she had, you know, it made her abusive towards us. So being abused, you know, you wind up putting up this wall because you don't want to be abused no more. You don't want to cry to this beating that your parents given to you, so now you get tough, you know. So when you get tough, you know, it makes you tough towards everything and everyone around you. And yes, it does give you that attitude, like, you know what, the last person who hurt me was my mother, and yet I'm not letting nobody else do it to me. It's shot from home.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah, it could be a defense mechanism.
Yeah. Let me bring the other caller in, and then Barry, take it away. Hello,
okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
Who are we speaking to?
This is T.
Hey,
oh,
T.
Hey.
Hey.
You can let everybody know where you're from and everything. Right now, I'm going to sit back for a little while and enjoy this.
Take the easy road there, Rich.
I'm from the Shore Point. Yeah, I'm a Jersey girl, but I'm just me. I'm one of the hosts of GQ Palace as well on Wednesdays. But I call in to give my feedback on attitude. My attitude come from just me. my attitude has really, truly straightened out a whole lot. But my attitude came from bad relationships, things that's happened in my life, you know, from molestation to drugs to just being in bad relationships and everything else. You know, but now that I've gotten older, I'm wiser, and I look at things differently now. So the attitude, I'm not as quick to jump as with an attitude as I used to be. You know, I'll try to solve or resolve the problem first. But, you know, if you just keep nagging me, yes, I'm going to have an attitude.
Yeah. You know, that's all good, too, because we're all in work in progress. And
yeah.
And I think that, you know, like I shared that with you, too. Like, you know, and we're working progress, and it's all good because we all have shortcomings. Like, I'm going to share a little bit about me. Like, when I worked at the schools doing security, I had to have a little attitude because I had to get the respect from the kids. You know, so I had to have that little attitude and stuff with them, you know, for respect, too. And then I started moonlighting with the Suffolk County Police, so then my attitude, you know, and then my pride came up or whatever else, you know, and then I coached whatever for 10 years, girls basketball and boys basketball, and then, you know, my attitude kind of really got kind of blown up, and my pride got blown up, and then, like my brother Kenny said, you know, I thought I was better then and holier now, and I lost everything. Be honest, after my father died, whatever, I just went through a depression, whatever else, and I thought, you know, my attitude and my position and my work ethic, you know, and, you know, it's not true because, you know, I lost everything from it. But on the flip side, too, you do have to have attitude to defend yourself now, I feel, because of people kind of label you and try to walk over you and think you're a doormat, and you have to have that attitude to get respect, too. So you got to wear a couple hats, and just like the young lady said with your environment, like if you're from, like, the hood, you know, you got to walk around with a certain attitude, too, because, you know, people got to kind of respect you, too, because you can't walk around like, you know, you're soft either. So it's a lot. It's a lot.
But you know, not cutting you off, Barry, but all the time when the word attitude, it doesn't mean that you have to be nasty or hostile with it.
No.
You know, you can have a nice, nasty attitude.
Yeah.
You know, where someone may not even think that you got that attitude, but you know deep down within, with yourself, that you do. You know, because
right.
Your body language can speak an attitude as well as your mouth.
Well, your body language speaks more than your mouth, brother. Honestly.
Yes, it does. You know, I can say.
Your body, you know, because I read people a lot, and they don't have to say something. Their actions, whatever, speaks louder than words. And that's a true statement. Actions speaks louder than words. Because they could be saying something nice and sweet. Their body language is saying something totally different.
I mean, you know, when you get with them hands, because I know myself, I used to have to explain myself with my hands a lot. And I was like, wait a minute.
Right.
You know, why do I have to, like, when I'm talking, like, yeah, and get the point in that finger and, you know.
Right.
And I thought about that, you know, like, this person don't know when I may end up striking.
Right.
So, you know, they are on the defense from the start, especially when I start talking with my hands.
Right.
Yeah, that's
you
like
know.
Me, like, where I live at right now, like, I live in a small town, you know, where the minorities. And, you know, I have to explain to them a lot, like, my attitude has changed from where I came from, you know. I sit there, I smile a lot, you know, and I communicate a lot, but they have the stereotype that, you know, this, we're angry black women. So it's like if we talk to you, you're going to yell at us, you're going to scream at us. And like she said, you're going to move your hands, you're going to put your hands in our face like that. And I'm just like, but no, that's not how we are. I was like, that's our environment. I said, the environment I'm right now, I'm being the nicest person in the world to you, but yet you're saying I'm giving you attitude, and I'm not. I'm just having a conversation. And yes, I have authority in my voice, but I'm not yelling at you. I'm just like, if you're wrong, you're wrong. I'm not going to scream and yell about it. It's said and done, so I'm going to move on. But your mentality's already set that, you know, black women are angry, they'll fight you, you know, they'll threaten you, and they'll be like, that's not true, and you're not taking the opportunity to get to know us or just you know, see that everybody in the world ain't that way.
Yeah.
But you know what? I also think it goes about how you say things.
That's true. Well, yeah. That's true.
It's not what you say, but how you say it.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You say it the sweetest way in the world, and you're still going to be accused of. I think I said it earlier this week. I was like, we could say the sweetest things in the world, and it's not attitude no more. It's called strong personality. You have a strong personality.
On a radio show.
but you know, the thing is, like what you were saying, Rich, you know, like someone could say, can you stop by the store? You know, but if you coming at me like, can you stop by the store? Yeah, I'm
exactly.
Automatically going to get an attitude right then and there with you because of the way that you said it to me.
Right.
Because it's a way to say everything, you know, or do this or do, no, hold up.
Like,
can you do this for me?
Yes.
Don't
exactly.
tell me to
don't,
do it because I'm going to instantly get an attitude with you then.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then this will be the question I would say, well, how do you handle somebody who grew up that way, like who all their lives this is how they talk to people and people talk back to them, and it's like if you correct them, you're giving them attitude when you say to them, you know, the way you're talking to me right now, I don't appreciate it.
Well, my thing with that, how to deal with them, you know, because regardless of how nice or how soft or low you talk to someone, if they got it embedded in their head that they're this Mr. or Ms. Attitude, it's going to be hard to get them away from it because that's what their mindset is already adjusted to having that attitude.
Yeah.
And it stinks, too. You know, somebody with a bad attitude, because I had to really get, I had to get up into my daughter because but then I had to look at it, you know, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. So I had to, regroup with her because, you know, she would give me attitudes about the simplest things. And I'm like, yo, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk lower and we can discuss this in a better manner. You know, every time that you are in a problem, you're not going to bail out by saying, well, I'll talk to you later. No, you're going to talk to me now.
Right.
It's like working at a college. I used to work with kids in a college. And some of them have that nice attitude. Some of them have that attitude where you got to be thuggish with them. And, you know, that's what I told, you know, my sergeant when he came in. He was like, oh, why are you talking to that kid like that? I was like, because this is the way you have to talk to them. You got some where you can talk politely to. And you got some where you got to give, like, a thuggish attitude to just to let them know you understand, okay, I'm giving you the same attitude you're giving me. And if going by that way, that's how they respect you more. So if you try to talk to this person with a thuggish attitude and be like, well, excuse me, can you go over here, you know, such and such, they're going to look at you and they're going to be like, what?
Right.
So if you come and listen, I need you to go over there. That's where I need you to go. They're going to go and they're not going to question you because you're in that same that same environment at day in, at that moment.
Yes. That's a perfect example of, you know, what I was saying earlier, that some people, and, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible where some people you feed them milk and some people you feed them milk. And then I tell my husband, because, you know, being a pastor, there's some people that I talk to them harshly, and you know, he said, you shouldn't talk to them. I'm like, that's what they're used to. I said, so until they decide they want to have that nurture and they want to have that love, they want this mentality of, this is how you need to be disciplined. You know, you need to be taught this way because all your life you was looking for discipline and you didn't get it. And now that you have it, this is the only way you're going to do everything else breaks off of you. This is how I need to talk to you. And then I have some people that I talk to them like a baby. And I said to them, I said, because right now they're soft. You know, right now they just, they're just putty, and, you know, they need to have that love. That's just all that they need right now. And I said, and when God's finished with them, believe me, they'll get to where they need to be at. They'll have that strength and their strongness and that attitude to walk into the wolves. Basically, that's what you're doing. You're basically training them to walk into wolves, because
that's
what's out here, you know. So
right. And the thing is, if you're, you know, a baby in Christ, whatever, like you said, you feed them milk or whatever. And, you know, before, like with the attitude, sometimes we work according to the world. But, I mean, as you change and grow and learn, you walk, you know, in meekness, whatever, in love and tender kindness. Mm-hmm. But it matters where you come from, too, because, you know, some people, that's all they knew. You know, so you got to take every individual differently, you know. And it's funny, when I go, like, on Amtrak or when I go to a token booth, wherever I go, either somebody gives me attitude or they're nice. And you know what? When they're very nice to me, I ask them what their name is, and I call up the supervisor and tell them, you know, that person was really, really nice and very helpful, or whatever. And they get surprised. They're like, you know, really? I said, yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of people with attitude, but, you know, if somebody's nice, you know, who takes the time out to call and say that you're nice? So I think it's a kind gesture too, to give props when it's props, and, you know, when it's negative, I just ignore it, whatever too. And I think your attitude means everything, you know. But we're not perfect. And we're all a work in progress, you know.
Right. But, you know, sometimes you just have to sit back, because people will try to bring you out of your character.
Yep.
And make you have that attitude that, you know, you no longer wish to have. But at the end of the day, like Rich was saying earlier, some people, you can't help but have an attitude at them.
Yeah.
Because either they're negative, they don't want anything, and because they're down and they're miserable, they want you to be the same way. So, you know, you're going to end up eventually having to come out with an attitude or walk away. Just walk away from the whole situation.
Loves company.
There we go. Misery loves company again.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you just got to be mindful of who you are. You know, you don't have to carry an attitude just because that other person wants you to have it.
No.
Yeah, you know, because, like I said, I know a month ago, you couldn't have told me nothing, because it was like that I woke up with an attitude. And I had nobody to be upset with but myself. Nobody made me feel that way. It was just that that's what I was into, you know, because of things that was going on in my life.
Yeah.
But I realized, you know, hey, that attitude is not going to get me anywhere.
Nope. You're right.
You know, I've lost quite a few friends, but guess what? At the end of the day, I don't care, because sometimes those were the people that was helping bring the attitude out of me.
Yeah.
And making me be that evil, you know, because sometimes the attitude is just evil. It's just evilness. So.
That's exactly what it is. And you know what? Sometimes some people bring out the worst in you. I mean, some people are good on that.
Yeah.
Try to push your buttons and bring out the worst in you. You know, it's not all the person that has the attitude either. It goes two ways. Because sometimes people bring out the worst in you for their negative, you know, their immature ways or their stupidity.
Hey.
So it goes both ways.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah?
It goes both ways, without a doubt.
Can I say something here? Can I chime in here? Sometimes it's a test.
Yeah.
Sometimes God tests us.
Right.
Through people, bringing people into our lives to test how we're going to react to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not what defiles, what goes into a man that defiles him, mm-hmm. It's what comes out of him. You know, God will test us. You know,
man would test you. You know, and when I say man, I mean men and women. Mm-hmm. You know, because I also think back. If eyes could kill, it'd be a lot of dead people that was around me.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So what is the difference between having an attitude and being honest? Because sometimes you be honest with people and they'll say you got an attitude because you're being honest. So what is the difference there? You know, where do you, how can you separate those two things when it's not an attitude, but you're just being honest?
I think that would be on an individual. It depends on the individual and themselves.
that situation, you know, because who am I to say that, you know, I could say right now, well, Miss Lady, you sound like you got an attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't know you.
I know.
And even if I did, like Barry and Rich, I know them. You know, I could say that they sound like they got an attitude.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there.
Right.
You know, because at the end of the day, just because I may be feeling some type of way and I'm being honest about the situation, it doesn't mean that they got an attitude and upset with me. You know? So I would say would depend on the individual themselves.
That's right.
Yeah. I say, and that's why I say, because I get that a lot. People be like, you know, you have an attitude. No, I don't have an attitude. I'm just honest. There's no reason for me to sit here to lie. I don't have a reason to lie to you. I have no reason to give you attitude because when it's all said and done, I close my door, I'm going to be here and you're going to be on the outside.
Exactly.
So, I said, I don't understand that. You know, it's like you basically you ask a question and you give them the honest answer. And that's why, you know, I tell people a lot, you don't ask if you don't want the answer.
Right, because the truth hurts. The truth hurts and people don't hear that. You want them to be honest. And if they tell you the truth, whatever, you know, because sometimes you pull them to the carpet and, you know, instead of, you know, they need to hear it. So a lot of times you get an attitude back, but, you know, like when you replay it and really be honest with yourself and confession, and then, you know, you see, that's when you grow, when you confess. Because I used to be in denial about a lot of stuff. Oh, not me, and blaming this and that. And when I look back, you know, and somebody said, what about you? What part did you play? And then I look back and I said it was my attitude. You know, when I went to Florida, I went to Florida for 5 years. I've been back 2 years. And I carry all my attitude from the Bronx. And I was really blessed down there. I was doing good, this and that. But I still had an attitude from people back here, a lot of family that hurt me, a lot of people that hurt me.
Yeah.
And even though I was doing good down there, I still had that bitterness and anger toward the people back here. And I carried down in my attitude. So a lot of times I was defending myself in a real negative way with my attitude from people back here. And sometimes, like Rich said, then sometimes I was like saying, you know, you just can't walk over me no more. And, you know, and it cost me a lot, you know. And I see that now, like, you know, what I was harboring, it was because of my attitude. And it's just like poison, drinking poison waiting for the other person to die, you know. And we need to lose the attitude and just be humble and loving because, you know, with the attitude of if we have a negative attitude, we just hurt ourselves, so in the long run. So if you're honest with yourself, and like T said a month ago, you know, you have nobody to blame but yourself. When I look back, I blame everybody. Oh, this and that, whatever, this and that. And I looked, I said, nah, because I even went back to the school I used to work with, and it was the first time I went back in 13 years. And I seen all the people, you know, and I was like, you know, and they was like, oh, we love and miss you, whatever. But, I had to be honest, you know, I caused that, you know. And I blamed everybody else. But until I was honest, and it took me 13 years, I just went back there like 3 weeks ago. And that's when I moved forward because, you know, now I can move forward because, like I said, I had a bad attitude, whatever else. And you know, when you stop playing the shame game and be honest with yourself, or you'll be stuck, you're stuck in the past and stuck in your rut, whatever.
But do you think when you get older or when you know, even though I don't like looking back into my past.
Right, because it hurts.
Do you
the truth.
Think
the
that,
truth hurts.
You
look
know,
back and say, go ahead.
When you look back and you look at yourself now, do you think that your attitude has improved or gotten worse? You know, you have to look at those things, too. Like, you know, am I still continuing having this attitude for nothing?
Or doing stupid things, yeah.
Attitude is an act. You know, it's someone, something, it's an act.
We carry our past relationships into new ones. And it's no good because you get as soon as something will happen, you get a flashback of the past and your defense mechanism comes up. Then you get an attitude about whatever else for something that happened to you in the past and it's affecting your present. Like I said before, you never let your past define your future, but that's easier said than done. Because your past hurts, fly right up and here you go, defensively. Here comes the attitude.
I can say, you know, when I look, you know, like she said, I don't like to look back on my past, but I think of some of the things that I did in my past that had to do with my attitude, and a lot of times it was defending, you know, and it wasn't even defending me, it was defending other people because I've been where they was at, so it was just like I went from, you know, having this wall just protecting myself from people to protecting other people, not worrying about the damage I was causing myself. I was always defending other people. So one of the things I used to say to God was like, why did you save me? You know, because, you know, I had my nasty attitude was making sure that the other person who was hurting that person was put down. You know, they got whatever I did to hurt them, to make them feel like the other person did, that's what I did. And it was just like, okay, God, why would you save somebody like that? And then now you want me to help other people, and this is all I know. This is all
because
how,
he loves
how
everybody.
How is this gonna change? And it was just he had to teach me. It's like that mentality you had to protect people, to defend people. That's why I save you. Now I want you to take these words out and how you use them, and now I want you to put love with it and watch how far you can go. So it took for me to seek him on that situation right there, on that part of my past, because if I didn't do that, I would have been basically saved, bitter and angry. Because that's basically what I'd still be defending, but I'd have been bitter and angry when I came home after I defend a person. And when I say with that, you know, the attitude I have now is it's just great, because here it is. I can defend people now, but I can do it in a loving way, and it's not even putting a person down. It's just saying, you know where you're going at right now, I've been there. So I can tell you where you're going to be at in about 5 or 6 years, if you want to know. If you don't want to know, I'm not going to push it. But I'm just saying that, you know, this the walk you're walking, there's many of us who've been there, and we all here now. So why hit rock bottom when you can just come over here now and just enjoy the fruits of your labor?
I understand what you're saying about, you know, you can tell someone maybe what they're going to be like in 5 years. But at the end of the day, when you think about it, you really can't, because for the simple fact, you know, I know God may be showing you, but for the simple fact, that person can change on you within a second.
Huh?
You know, were you thinking that this person is really, you know, like, oh, my God, she's made such a dramatic change, you know, and then you turn around, if not the next second, the next day, this person went out there and just went completely off. You know, they lost it. That's why I say, you know, I want to live from day to day. I honestly don't want to know my future.
And
I know
where
that
the love comes in at, you know, the fact that you just love that person, because that's what we didn't have back then. We didn't have that love, you know. So, and we all know that God gives us unconditional love. A man can't love us like God loves us, but he just wants us to love that person, because the person is going to do things like that. They are going to fall, you know. They are going to walk away sometime. They're not going to be able to handle the struggles that they go through. But if you just stand there and just love them and support them no matter what they go through, you know, God's going to get the glory regardless. You're just the supporter, you know. I'm a firm believer you can lead them to water, can't make them to drink. But,
right,
you know, if we're having a conversation and it comes up, yeah, I'm going to, you know, share my testimony. But you're right, we can't do it. Nobody did it for me. You know, literally, he had to bust me upside the head while I was getting high. I was coming out of a church family, you know, and they all prayed at me.
Like I was,
it took God stepping in. We all were.
And you know what, that's what God uses, because he uses the screwed up people or whatever else, and everybody thinks that you're nobody and you're loser or whatever, and he takes them and puts them on the potter's wheel, and he molds them into a great person, you know, and all of us have went through our trials and tribulations with whatever, you know, none of us are perfect, a lot of the leaders in the Bible, the best guys were murderers, screw-ups, and everything else, and he took them and made them a great people, because he wouldn't get the glory, because if somebody's living, like, all right from the beginning, he doesn't get the glory. But if somebody like a knucklehead, you know, whatever, and, you know, all knuckleheads, all way, you know, and he takes us and washes us off and dusts us off, and we're like a diamond in the rough. And he says, whatever.
Amen.
Glory. That's why I said, everybody thinks, oh, you think you're holier down there. No, it's God.
No.
It's not me. It's not me. It's God, and he gets the glory. I put it before him everywhere. And I realize that now, you know, and to admit that I'm a sinner, and to admit that I'm shortcoming, and to admit I'm weak. You know, and he says, well, you're weak, I'm strong. And when you admit that, you know, whatever, and a lot of times when you're using or drinking whatever because you're trying to fill a void and you don't know, you're lacking love, you're lacking whatever, and you fill it with the wrong thing. But when God comes to your life, he says, you know, I feel lonely, whatever. He says, no, I'm your love. I'm there with you. I'll carry you. and he brings, you know, a love in your heart that you've been missing all your life, whether it comes from your childhood, whether you didn't have a father, whatever else, you didn't get the little wagon, whatever happened in your life, everything stems from your childhood. And when you totally surrender that, there's a lot of people carry that into their adulthood, and they do all kind of crazy stuff, going to whatever else, and fleshy desires. And like I said before, your fleshy desires leads to destruction. But you know what?
But you know what? I've seen some people that say they got the worse attitude than a sinner.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm not going to even speak on nobody to say, you know, because like I said, actually in honesty, I can't judge that person no way.
No, you can't
judge me.
You can't judge nobody.
If I choose to have an attitude, I'm going to have one, whether you like it or not. It's either you can either deal with it or you can kick rocks. It's that simple.
Right.
Turn the other cheek there, Barry.
Huh?
I said turn the other cheek there, Barry.
In the sense,
no. I'm just talking about people in general.
No, I wasn't
going at Barry or nobody
else.
Well,
I know
you
were.
Online. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, and I'm going to tell you what gives me the worst attitude. You know, and I know I still can get attitudes. A liar lied to me?
Yeah.
That's an instant attitude for me.
Yeah.
And I jump to defense. I get real defensive, you know. I really get defensive. So, attitude. Ooh, a liar? And don't steal from me. Don't steal from me and don't lie to me. Because you will get the, you will see the part of tea that you never, ever want to see.
Right. Because like I said, some people bring out the worst in you.
I think that's where that meekness come at because, you know, you get meek because you done did so much in your life, you can see it on somebody else. So you just sit there and you just be like, okay, I've been here, done that. And you just let the person talk, you know, just like, you don't even engage to it. You just be like, all right, see you later. I think that's where that meekness come at because those type of people are just around us. And it's just like, we don't know why they do it. They just do it. But it's like,
some people live
like
a lie so much.
You don't want it to come up. So you just humble yourself and be like, okay, guy or girl, whoever it is, you be like, all righty, talk to you later.
But Vic, you know what? I was just sitting here thinking, right? I was sitting here thinking. And because of me, you know, walking in a different life right now, I love to kill people with kindness. But when you come off to me with an attitude now, you can be like, well, you know, so-and-so. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I smile about it. And I just, it makes me feel so much bigger than that person because I'm sitting there laughing and smiling at you while you going on. For what?
Yeah.
What's the matter? Calm down, sweetheart.
Yeah.
It's not even that serious.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not that deep. It's not that deep.
I mean, that includes my family. You know, I honestly laugh at people now because I don't have to live with an attitude.
Oh.
Yeah.
Those things that's behind me now, they're bygones, and I leave bygones alone.
Sometimes I be laughing and people say, "What's so funny? What you laughing at?" And I'm laughing aside because I'm reading you and I see right through you, and they don't understand.
Yep.
Just laughing about because they ready for you to have a negative attitude and you laugh at them because you see like you and you see the truth. So that is true.
Mm-hmm.
That's real true.
Yeah, I used to, yeah, like I said, and that was something else that would get on my nerves. Somebody to laugh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like, you know, I'm being serious and you laughing. Come on now. Then that makes me think, yeah, it is a childish, back then I would have said called you a little bit of everything, but, you know, this is a childish individual, don't know how to accept life, don't know how to accept criticism, don't know how to accept nothing, you know, because honestly, you're not getting what I'm saying anyway.
Right.
Because of your mentality and your attitude, you know, your little stinking attitude, and you don't know how to deal with a real person. You know,
right.
When that person really turn and want to do better, you know, you still want that person to have that attitude. Why? Because you have one?
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
You know.
You're a different person now.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I love me some tea, whether somebody else love me or not. Yeah, I'm going to love tea. So, right. You know, that
love yourself first.
Like I said, self-preservation, baby.
Right, because if you don't love yourself, you ain't got nothing.
That's it.
You can't love nobody no way.
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm going to start saying I like people.
I say that. I was telling my daughter that. I said, there's a difference between like and love. I said, I love you to death, but there's some days I just don't like you. So when you get like and love at the same time, you set. It's like you said. I was like, we cool. You have nothing to worry about. I told her the other day, I said, I'm starting to like you right now. You know, because
right.
Just like my, right. just like she said, my daughter, she has an attitude. I have four girls, and I have a 17-year-old that is a spitting image of me when I was 17 years old. And I have to get on my knees and say, God, thank you for sparing my life. Because I just, you know, I have my days. I was like, what? And I know now that God spared my life when it came to my mama. I was
but
like,
no,
so.
Mom, them say you reap what you sow. And I, like I told you, I believe that because it's like my daughter, you know. And, but then when somebody come out and be like, well, your sign, that's how you acting. You know, your sign, you just said that you got an attitude. That's not so. Those are myths right there, believing in these astrology signs and all of that. Those are just myths. You are who you are because you choose to be who you are. If you choose to live with an attitude, then that's what you're going to do.
Right.
Regardless of who you are.
Right. You're right. So, it's your choice. It's a choice the way you want to live.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so now if you see the light, whatever, and you choose to live, you know, it's best not to, I mean, have a negative attitude toward other people because of your past hurts, whatever. I mean, like you said, you know, you got to have an attitude if people are going to walk over you, too, and laugh at you and play with you. But other than that, to have a bad attitude toward other people because, you know, your attitude means everything. Like when you go get a job with a relationship with your kid and whatever else, you know, that's part of a... how people perceive you and look at you, you know. And like I said, I made mistakes a lot. I lost a lot with that. So I see now with humbleness and growth and the man up above, you know, you go over, you replay the tape and you see that, you know, that's what it is, you know. And,
but you know, there's so many words that can relate with the word attitude.
Right.
It's just so many because, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's everybody's own opinion of what you think that my attitude may be anyway.
Right. And people perceive
you know?
It in space. Right, exactly.
So you just have to be like, you know, hey, let that person do them. You know, hey, if they choose to live with an attitude, it's nothing we can do about it. That
right.
individual has to decide that they want to change because you can't change them.
No.
You know, it, like you, the lady was saying earlier, you know, it comes from your upbringing. That's
yeah.
why I try to instill into my grandkids right now while they're young. It's not going to get you anywhere. You know, the cockiness and all of that, that's an attitude, too.
Right.
If you go to a job, you're not going to get no job going in there being cocky.
No, and that attitude, you know, I go to the supermarket, like I said, or I go to a ticket booth, whatever. And some people think they're cute or with an attitude, but they're going to wind up fired with it. It ain't getting them nowhere because even if you keep your job, you're not going to get promoted. Your attitude, you know, speaks volumes, you know. And people think they're so cute or whatever or with the attitude or I'm going to go curse somebody out or whatever. You ain't doing nothing hurting yourself in the long run.
Right.
So
right.
Like,
can
hurting
out for 1 minute? We have another call. I just want to bring them on.
Okay.
Hello, call. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi there.
Okay.
I was listening to what you're saying, and I understand that. And for me, I realized that when you see people with bad attitudes, sometimes you have to realize that because they're that way, probably from past hurts
yes.
in their lives.
Always.
And so when... Right? And so in order to reach them with the love of Jesus, as far as I'm coming from, you know, to win them over with love.
Yes.
Because love never fails.
No.
And sometimes you just get to know them and try to befriend them. And even if they give you, you know, like who you think you are or whatever, in time. I worked in the city in Manhattan for many years, and this girl came to work, and she, I'm Puerto Rican and of color, and she was from Long Island, and not being used to being of people around color was her first job. And every time we would meet in the bathroom, she looked like she was like, oh, my God, let me get out of here. And little by little, I got a chance to just befriend and say hello and, you know, not have and take the attitude like, who does she think she is, or she's white, or this, that, or the other. And eventually, after a while, she began to befriend me. And now, I'm retired now, but when I left, she, all she could do was choke and cry and say how much she was going to miss me. Uh-huh. And I with her. And we had a wonderful working relationship. And she ended up by being my boss in the last 5 years where I was working.
Wow.
That's nice.
So you see, right? So you see, you know, when you realize where other people don't have the advantages that you have and the knowledge that you have and the love in your heart for people, it's not easy loving people, especially the days in which we're living in now. It's ridiculous.
That's true.
And riding these trains in New York, oh, please.
Right.
You
that's
need
why
the grace
I say, you know,
God.
You got to bring them, you got to start with them now when they what, 2 and 3 years old, you know, and
you're
try
right.
to help them, you know. Now, when they get older, I've always said mm-hmm. that, even with my own kids, when they mm-hmm. get older and you know you have done all you can do,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing else you can do. If they turn mm-hmm. and still have this same attitude, there's nothing you can do about it. All you just put in your head, like, you know, I tried, but it's no sense in having an attitude going back and forth with that child or with that person, period.
No.
I know.
And just continue to see that, you know, hey, mm-hmm. it's a better walk out here than just to have an attitude. And you'll get
I know. More. You know, and for these young people nowadays, it's a survival mode, because if they think that you're too kind or you're too nice or whatever, the young people today, they will, like, torture you. And, like, what they will bully you because they think, you know, you're not with it or whatever. You don't have that attitude or walking with that edge. And so kids who have grown up with, you know, with values and their parents telling them what's right. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, right is wrong and wrong is right.
Right.
Exactly.
And so these kids, they get pressured, and all of a sudden they're walking in the house with attitudes and stuff. I've seen it in my own grandkids, and it's not them.
Right.
It's not them. And I'm like, Lord, what in the world happened? You know, the change, and the peer pressure is unbelievable. So.
Yeah, but like you said, all we can do is just try to get them to see a different walk. You know, we can't make them, because if you're doing it for 5 hours.
Right.
Who's doing it for the other 19 hours?
That's right.
What are they learning in those other 19 hours where you've tried your best in those 5 hours, even if it's every day, to tell mm-hmm. this child or whoever, you know, these are some of the things you can take to the bank that's going to make
mm-hmm.
you better. You know,
but
then when they get in those other 19 hours, and they with these
mm-hmm.
other people that's got the drastic attitudes and the mean attitudes, then what?
Yeah.
You know, they're confused then.
Yeah.
I want to say, Auntie Sookie, this is my Auntie Sookie, and I wouldn't be the man I would be. I wouldn't be talking now if it wasn't for her and my uncle being the pioneers of Christianity stuff and planting that seed. And they've been Christians for 30-some years. And it finally sunk in like 10 years ago. So I shared them. They missed the show last week, and I just want to say I'm thankful and grateful because, you know, you're everything to me, and you planted that seed for me to change my life and walk the way I walk. So I love you and Uncle part of my heart, and you guys are pioneers. And Auntie Sookie, all you do is show love. I mean, you're a woman of inspiration and everything, and you show love to, like, the whole family. I just love you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you, but I owe it all to the Lord because, you know, in life, when you know what you have been all about and what you are, you know, before you come to know the Lord, you know, and what God has done in your own life, you want to share that with others. And not that you jump and push Jesus down somebody's throat. You got to walk the walk.
Yeah.
And when people begin to ask you, you have the open door to share why you are the way you are, you know. And that's what I try to do and be a good representation of who I represent, and that's Jesus. Unfortunately, I've had to apologize for other Christians when I've heard of the atrocities and the things that have happened to them in the name of Jesus, and it just breaks my heart, and I start weeping before them and apologize for the body of Christ, because that's not love. That's not love when people are being ridiculed. I don't care what background it is. It's not my job. It's just my job to show love, to point the way, and God causes the increase in someone's life. That's up to them, ultimately.
Okay. So I want to give thanks to you. I love you from the bottom of my heart.
I know it's a lot of y'all is talking about the Lord. We also have a spiritual Sunday show from 7 to 9 on Sundays, the same number, where Lavina Polite have the most powerful evangelists, ministers, pastors, elders, and they call in, they give their testimonies as well. Very powerful show, spiritual Sunday from 7 to 9.
Yes.
From 7 to 9. We call it on the same number.
That's wonderful.
What we got to do right now, we have to end this segment. So I'm going to let everybody just get their final thoughts on the topic that Barry suggested, because we have another segment coming on with an up-and-coming artist who's actually on the line. I didn't realize we went over 7 o'clock. I said, oh, Lord.
It was so good.
Yes.
Hey, guys, I'll see you at 8. Hey, Barry, I'll see you at 8, buddy.
Okay, Rich, I just want to say thank you for GQ Palace and thank you for this forum and everything else. And I want to say thank you to T.C. Holler for giving me the star, too, and GQ Palace, and big things are coming. And I just want to thank you, and I'll be on for the rest of the show. God bless everybody.
Also, don't forget.
Okay, God bless you all, too.
To hear the up-and-coming artists. And also, we got Kenny. He's an author. He's coming on from 8 to 9, and we're going to talk about his book, 60 Minutes from Hell. And
Oh, yes.
Okay, so he'll be on from 8 to 9, and we have an up-and-coming artist coming on from 7 to 8 right now. So y'all can stay on the line and tune in. If you want to hear the artist's music, you can hear it and let him know what you think about it. You can continue listening to the show, and at 8 o'clock, Kenny Walker comes on, the author, to discuss his novel. He got it. Okay?
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot. You know you're welcome anytime on a GQ general question. It's never a problem.
That's right. God bless you, brother.
Same to you. Barry James, Jonathan Jesus. All right, y'all. Coming up next, we have up-and-coming artist, Mr. Exclusive. And we're going to play his master single, The Business, and other singles that he got out that's killing the nation. So stay right there and don't move. This is Rich Money, GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
For sure.
You! Enter with the tiller treasure hanging.
What's good? Black Silk, $2 Tuesday franchise. Don't forget, we moving to that spot over on Fordham Road. Plug your stream, the Rewind of Taboo. And if you was in that episode, you know what it is. Don't forget, this year, my retirement, stage 48 is going down. I got major celebrities on, bro. That's Checkmate. For all of you that don't know, I'm chilling with my man Rich Money, GQ Palace, each and every Friday. I know what it is. Let's go.
Already legendary. If I stop this weekend, switch lifestyles and cease public speaking, you still be frozen, secure in your flow scheme. Cause now the fact that you strapped like Bokeem, it don't mean nothing major. They saw you put on, they saw me come up, they saw the young star Bizarre, who do the circumstance, courage and desire got with ya. I set the big picture on fire, play hard, I be in and out of Dodge like God, just a rumor being, you may be seeing a mirage. Come closer, pinch the poster child for hell, hurry up cause in a minute I'ma do what I feel, and I zone out. 9 times out of 9 when the microphone's out, it's just long enough to zone out. But when the time don't stand still, I bite, and before time finds me, I blend with the night, leaving neither trace nor shadow of a doubt. I was born a made man, never battled for the clout. fucks with the greats and up with the three or four states. My basement tapes done seen more gates than a little bit. I'm just the type that like the filament right where they gas you and blast you for not much more than the thrill of it. I be trying to tell niggas grand on some other shit. Yo, I know the slang of a thousand gangs, yo. I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend?
Another thousand gangs know my name, though. I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend?
I got a thousand M rhymes to my name, you know what I'm saying? I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend?
But that's 3,000. I'm way ahead of the game, yo. I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend?
You ain't a legend. You just hot today. But anyway, dig I make. Get at me, holler, thug type of scholar. I don't need to know your background. I touch you right where you at now. Just tell me if the track sound out the frame when it's on your box. I never stay in my square cause I game. I'm everywhere. Greyhound spots with the TV chairs. My likeness was on air when I bounced. Graphic accounts is left all in my wake. Fame is all in my fake name. It's all on my side. This is what you get when ghosts collide. The worst niggas got the most pride. Grant got soul like Makosa. I know the slang of a thousand games, yo. I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend?
Another thousand gangs know my name, though. I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend?
I got a thousand ill rhymes to my name, you know what I'm saying?
Hey,
I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend? But that's 3,000.
I'm way ahead
right
of the
now,
game,
yo. I'm legendary. You think you're a legend?
You know G. Brandon went up out of the place. The man is known by voice, by style, by face, by choice. My space can't be invaded. Rhymes go from old to syncopated. And one record black, and you're checking for that. Which is this, cause Finesse did the tracks and I rhyme bliss. The onlookers come to grips when I spit a general on some year-long March Madness. The bad news precedes my footsteps. The good rep is good rep is good rep is good rep. The hat broke down before I spoke. I got the full Nelson choke down pack. You know it sound fat. Go on, say it don't. If you don't know by now, you never won. I'm two times fly. As your crew and I came to set trends, get rich and never die. I know the slang of a thousand gangs, yo. I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend?
Another thousand gangs know my name, though. I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend?
I got a thousand ill rhymes to my name, you know what I'm saying? I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend?
But that's 3,000. I'm way ahead of the game, yo. I'm legendary.
You think you're a legend?
What's good, what's good? Black Silk, $2 Tuesday franchise. Don't forget, we moving to that spot over on Fordham Road. Club the Stream, the Rewind, a Taboo. And if you was in that episode, you know what it is. Don't forget this year, my retirement, stage 48 is going down. I got major celebrities on, belt. That's Checkmate for all of you that don't know. I'm chilling with my man Rich Money, GQ Palace, each and every Friday. I know what it is. Let's go.
GQ Palace Radio.
GQ Palace Radio.
All right, Johns and Diva, welcome back to the Palace. That was that exclusive NOLA legend by my man Grand Agent featuring Lord Finesse. I want to give it up for my man, Mr. Exclusive, up-and-coming artist in the building right now. Mr. Exclusive, are you there?
Yo, what's good, my G?
What's going on, man? What's going on?
You already know, man. We're cooling right now, man, trying to find out a spot to hit the night in the A, but, you know, it's just work-related always, you feel me?
I definitely feel you. I definitely want to thank you for joining us this evening. You definitely got your bangers on lock right now. You know, but I want to get into your name. This is Exclusive. How did you come up with that name?
Actually, man, it was actually an AKA because my first name was Chameleon. But at the time when I had that name, Chameleonaire came out. But I always say AKA Mr. Exclusive in my rhymes. So I was just like, yo, we'll just ship it all the way to Mr. Exclusive. You know what I mean?
Okay. So I also see, you know, your brother influenced you on becoming an MC because you played in the band. You was messing with those drums. Tell us about that real fast.
Yeah, man. As a young one, you know what I'm saying? Like, he joined the band, you know what I'm saying? Played the drums and whatnot. And, you know, he would bring them home. I would play with them, but I would play a lot of stuff by ear before I learned how to read music, you know what I'm saying? So I would hear someone on the radio and just emulate it, you know what I mean? And I kind of fell in the same suit, you know, as far as just playing the drums. And, of course, you know, him being older, he's getting a hold to the Eggman Rakim records, you know what I'm saying, the new Nas records. So now when I'm hearing those records, I'm listening, you know what I'm saying, the Far Side, Don't Get It Twisted. I'm listening from East Coast to West Coast, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that kind of stuck with me.
I definitely feel you. Now, you said you read music. What is
yeah.
How did you learn to read music at such a young age, though? I'm not reading
well,
music.
That came from joining the band, you know what I'm saying? Because once I got into the age where I could actually join the band and, you know what I'm saying, and find out what's going on, I just, you know, kind of took a liking to it, and it became an understanding. Now, don't get it twisted. I don't blow no flutes. I don't play no trumpets. You know what I'm saying? Those notes are totally different. those notes are totally different from when you're playing percussions. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to keep it 100 about that. You feel me?
Oh, man, I definitely feel you. Now, I know you had linked up at one point with somebody named Baby Boy from a group called Southern Players. Tell us about that.
Actually, that's still my guy to this day, man. His name now is Cantrell Lopez, you know what I mean? Like, he's doing his thing still. But kind of ran into him on the fly when I first moved to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Didn't really know who he was. Like, they have different records here. Like, records that you would probably never hear in New York. You'd probably never hear in Chicago or California. You know what I'm saying? They have their own demographic of music here. So, when you talk about Atlanta stars, you know what I'm saying? When you talk about Atlanta stars, you really don't know who you're speaking of unless it's a T.I. That's what people call, you know, stars from Atlanta. But when you say Atlanta stars, you know what I'm saying? There are guys like Kilo, and I'm sure you probably heard of them, you know what I'm saying? Like you would see on the streets regular. And I just happened to run into them, and, you know, and actually it ended up being a freestyle session on my birthday. And I just kind of jumped in, and he was like, yo, I'm rocking with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, things didn't work out the way we planned, but, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, that's my man still. I ain't got nothing bad to say about him. You know what I mean? It was what it was.
Yeah,
you feel me?
Yeah. Exactly. Now, I want to get into one of your singles, you know, The Toast. Tell us about The Toast.
The Toast is actually, like honestly, I'm going to say this, and this is, like, for real, like, you guys are the only people that have that record. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I knew I was, like, because I have, like, since I live in Atlanta, like, I'm originally from North Carolina. So I'm more prone to you guys' music, New York or whatever. But living in Atlanta, mm-hmm. I've learned to do different music. So I can't sing you guys a strip club record, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is this? He sounds like the rest of Atlanta rappers. So I wanted to pick something from my project. I wanted to pick something from my project that you guys could possibly relate to, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a celebration record, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, we've done this. Now we're doing that, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're on to the next one, you know what I mean?
Mm. So, and that's where the name for it came up, The Toast.
Yeah.
Now, who produced this single?
Oh, this is my man, Red Ant, you know what I'm saying? He actually lives here, man. Like, he's got crazy beats, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was one of those records I was like, when he first introduced the beat to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I'm very choosy. Like, I don't just jump on something because it might sound nice. Like, it has to be one of those moments where I'm like, yeah, that's it, and start writing immediately. Like, I might not even say that. I might just start writing immediately. Like, yo, I'm about to go in the booth right now. You know what I'm saying? So it was one of those type records.
All right. So you know what? We're going to get into that right now. All right,
that's a bet.
All right, Jonathan Divas. Here goes his first banger, like he said, an exclusive by Mr. Exclusive called The Toast. Parental discretion is advised. Let me mark that for that, all right? We definitely going to get into it. This is GQ Palace Love and Entertainment. Let's make it happen, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Your discretion is advised.
Ready, I see you, nigga. Let's toast.
Yeah, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, Mikey D, a.k.a. Playboy Mikey D, a.k.a. Mikey D Structure, formerly of Main Source and L.A. Posse, currently with Elements of Hip-Hop. Y'all already know what it is. Right now, you're tuned in to GQ Palace. Keep it locked.
We doing the most, homie. Champagne ring, that caviar wishes, a pocket full of money in the room for the bitches. 2 minutes that he's going to most, raise a glass to the sky, celebrate with a toast. It's a champagne ring, that caviar wishes, a pocket full of money in the room for the bitches. The niggas that he's going to most, raise a glass to the sky, celebrate with a toast.
Walking through the mall
like a old man motherfucker, I hit the sidebar like an arrogant motherfucker. Damn right, I live a hell of a life. No deal, and still rock the smell of your ice. Wifey got bags, I used to playin' with the work. And me, I stay clean like I'm looking for some work. I get it how I live, no regrets, that's memory. Take the good with the bad, all salute to my enemies. And everybody praying for my downfall. Fuck the hate in the bed, now let's fall. Cause you only live once, time to start an answer. So enough looking back, worry about the present. Ride this bitch to the wheels fall off. Still good, so we drinking way bad last call. Raise the glass to the side, give a toast to the life. And tomorrow be tomorrow and strive for the night. It's the champagne rain, and caviar wishes. The pocket full of money in the room for the bitches. 2 minutes that you know the most. Raise the glass to the sky, celebrate with a toast. It's the champagne rain, and caviar wishes. The pocket full of money in the room for the bitches. Some of niggas that be throwing the most. Raise glass to the sky, celebrate with a toast. Stacy, everybody laced up, yeah. Birthday, everybody caked up. Okay, too far to go back to the bullshit. Now my mindset on fair first aggressive, some new whip. Yeah. I'm talking 53 with peanut butter tea. College funds and the crib with a D. Okay. Sit a lot of pressure, Gucci on my way. Hold up. Me, I keep that heater on my way
dry.
Cause niggas try you when they think you got it. That's why you gotta stay in love with everybody watching. Shine bright even when the sun's out. Go hard even when they count you out. Last second, so I gotta hit the game winner. Fall hard, probably pick a boy on sports center. Top 10, number 1 on the countdown. So raise your glass, cause we doing the most now. Champagne rain, and caviar wishes. A pocket full of money in the room for the bitches. 2 minutes that you know the most. Raise a glass to the sky, celebrate when it comes. It's a champagne rain, and caviar wishes. A pocket full of money in the room for the bitches. Some of the niggas that be throwing the most. Raise a glass to the sky, celebrate when it comes.
GQ Palace Radio.
Mr. Exclusive, I'm feeling that right here. I'm definitely feeling that right here. Now, let me
appreciate
ask
it, my G. Appreciate
no
it, appreciate
doubt.
It.
If you could perform with anybody that's out right now, who would it be and why?
Man, I mean, on the realest tip, I would have to say a tag team duo, you know what I'm saying? And it's nobody new. Like, I really would like to work with Jigga and Nas, you know what I'm saying? Like those are the only two people that can make me go to next level, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real, like on the Eminem Renegade level, you know what I'm saying?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, wow. You know, like I got respect for a lot of the artists, man, but you know, like, these guys make classic records, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like it, and it would be an honor for them to even have me on a record or them for even to bless one of my records, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No doubt. We actually have a caller for you, Mr. Exclusive. We're gonna bring them on.
All right.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hey,
how are
what's
you?
Going on? I'm
not
doing good.
Much.
How are you, Ma?
I'm fine, thanks. First off, that was a great record right there. And have you made any videos with your music?
The video shoot for my single, The Business, is coming up, like, here in the next couple of weeks. That's what we're pushing right now. Like, I've been pushing the record since October. I'm on rotation on a couple of radio stations, so now it's just time to go ahead and shoot the video. Everything's about timing for me.
Oh, okay. Another question. Does your music interfere with your family life?
To a certain degree, but not full-fledged, because I still coach my son's little league baseball team. I'm still at every game. I'm at every practice. It's just I'm not at home as much as I would like to be, but these are the beginning processes. You know, once I start collecting checks and being able to say, no, I don't want to do that, then I can do what I got to do.
Right.
But, I mean, everybody understands, you know what I'm saying, where I'm at right now and where I'm getting ready to go with this.
That's what's up. So do you, like, also have music for, like, the younger generation, the older generation, in between? Are you planning on doing all of that?
I mean, actually, it's not even a plan. It's already been done. I just release singles accordingly. You know what I mean? So, you know, it might be depending on the region or just something I feel like everybody needs to hear, you know. So, you know, I try to do something for everybody, honestly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's cool. You know, so I just want to tell you, you know, keep up the good work and always put God first. And, you know, it sounds like you go on where you want to go. I can tell that.
I appreciate it.
Keep dealing with those younger ones, you know, because it takes a village to raise them. So keep them young guys in check.
Oh, yeah. That's first and foremost. That's first and foremost.
We definitely need more of you, you know, because we're losing too many of our young ones anyway. But, you know, definitely that's a good one right there, you know, helping coach.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
You too.
All right. We have another caller for you. We want to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, what's up? This is Barry. How you doing, brother?
Yo, what's good, man? How you?
All right, man. I see you name some big names, man. That's where you got to reach for the stars, brother. That's what you got to do,
man. Yeah, man. I mean, anything else is uncivilized in my book. That's just being honest.
I hear you. And you know what? But keep it real on yourself and, you know, stay on the positive tip, man, because I'm from the old school, whatever, and a lot of stuff, you know, the new guys are just talking a lot of crap and whatever else, and they're selling records, but you know what? You got to keep it real, and it might take a little longer. Like you said, you coach your son, whatever, but in the long run, you'll prosper more, you know? And keep the lyrics really positive, because all that crazy stuff is getting, faded out. You know, they making money a little bit, but a lot of people are tired. Because rap is, you know, I'm from the South Bronx, and it started in, like, the late 70s. And old school always ruled, whatever. And a lot of people just going with the, you know, guns and hoes, whatever. And that worked for a little while. But people are kind of tired of it. Like, all the way around with rappers and everybody else. And that's going to fade out real quick, you know. So everybody's going for the quick money, but that's going to fade. So if you just stay to your heart and whatever else, and do the right thing. You know, it might take a little longer, but patience is a virtue. And you'll rise to the top, man. So keep it going.
Man, I appreciate it, man. Real talk.
Yeah, that's real talk, man. So, you know.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now, let me ask you. How long does it usually take you to write one single?
A single, I mean, like I said, like when I hear the beat, it's automatic almost, you know what I'm saying? Like I may have the first 8 bars or I may have the hook already done by the time I start writing, you know what I'm saying, my phone and whatnot. And the verses, they just come bar by bar. So, I mean, like the longest it's ever taken me to actually do a song by myself without a feature is probably about 15 minutes writing and 20 minutes recording, and that comes with stacking and all that, and all the extra stuff that comes with recording.
Wow. Now,
like I actually did the toast in probably 30 minutes, like overall of writing and recording.
Okay, 30 minutes. Okay.
Now, I see, you know, jumping back into the mix of the club scene is seeing that the city changed. Now, the music that you had did from back then, what's different than the music you got coming out now?
Really, I was just trying to find out what I really wanted to do, you know what I'm saying? Because you want to be a certain type of way and you want to stay a certain type of way, but, you know, when you start doing things, you kind of get lost when you're in the crowd, you see what I'm saying? If that makes any sense, you know what I mean? So once you, like, all of my experiences have led me to this point where I'm at right now, saying, yo, just do what you do, don't worry about anybody else, you see what I'm saying?
Exactly. So, from the fact that you're just doing what you do, what makes Mr. Exclusive different from everybody else?
I mean, this is going to sound real arrogant, but the name speaks for itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I try to say, like I say that on my records a lot, but I try to, you know, do exactly what my name says. You know what I'm saying? I try to stay on something new, something different. Like, I don't know what commercial music is, first of all. I know what works for me. So if it's a pop record and I like the beat and I got a verse written, you know what I'm saying, or I'm writing a verse in A1 time, I'm like, yo, I'm on that record. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about, you know, what other people think. I make the music that moves me. So I feel like if it moves me, I can move somebody else. You know what I mean? Because you got to realize at the end of the day, you're still not going to please everybody. You know what I mean?
I definitely feel you. I definitely feel you. Let's talk about your joint, The Business.
That's actually the record right now, man. Like, we're heavy on several different stations. That's my actual initial single. You know what I mean? Like, I've been pushing that record since October of last year, man. And, you know, just from me performing and being different places and doing this, that, and the third, man, like, I've been getting a lot of good reviews, a lot of feedback, man. So that's actually the video I'm working on now, man. I got a couple of guys from a couple of pretty lucrative places that I will not name as far as the filming industry is concerned that really are willing to work with me and help me put this thing together, man. So, but yeah, that's kind of like my bread and butter, how I even stepped in, because I wanted to find something that was, you know, a little bit for everybody. You know, I have the beat is Southern, you know, but my flow is me. So it kind of travels, you know, versus just being in one area. You feel me?
I definitely feel you. So you know what? I want you to introduce that next single.
Yo, man, once again, you already know, man, it's your boy, Mr. Exclusive. We're going to get into my new single, The Business, man. If you haven't heard it, here it is, man. Turn this up. Ride with it. Rock with me, man. Let's go.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
This is Rich Money, CEO / host for GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment. Don't forget to check out that GQ Palace website at www.gqgeeqe002.wix.com/GQ Palace Radio. We doing big things, baby. We taking it to the next level. You heard?
Explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Yeah, this is Grand Agent, grandagent.net, Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Rich Money, let's do it.
Hell yeah, that business. Robin's poppin' for the true stars. The real life, we're true stars.
fuck niggas just fake. I appreciate it, you the reason why we so great. Self talking, but you never doing. Without the money, I had them hammers moving. Hammers moving. Tim Tell, they get the hunger proven. Got no time for that bullshit. Too much bread to be getting to. Your priorities are not dollar signs, so it's obvious I don't fuck with you. That shit goes to the bitch too. Don't want to think this shit's sweet. I'ma beat the ass and I'ma hit the ass and see you right back in the street. Woo! Everything I do, I hear a justify. Champagne is in order for the winners, right?
Champagne for the champion. Hell yeah, we winning. Fuck niggas in the business. My old bitch ain't acting right. My new bitch gon' get it. Hell yeah, that business. Champagne for the champion. Hell yeah, we winning. You fuck niggas in the business. My old bitch ain't acting right. My new bitch gon' get it. Hell yeah, that business.
Pull me up, I hit the buzzer beater. Swishing on you busters loud. Feel my L, my twist is sweeter. Cashing daily, spin the wheel of fortune. Death till you less is me, 6K, yo, extra for a horse and ride. Water gorging, make you wish your mama chose abortion. See what hating do, your body left looking like you do contortion. You get the business like a salesman. Tell me hate, I sell you shots out the trunk like an elephant. My old chick, four star, my new chick, jet bag. Old ride like Rock Chevy, my new ride, Six Flags. Microsoft, I'm about big business. Strawberry jam house, screw within. I'm too grown to pay for pussy, my tricks are for kids.
Champagne for the champion, hell yeah, we winning. Fuck niggas in the business. My old bitch ain't acting right. My new bitch gon' get it. Hell yeah, that business. Champagne for the champion. Hell yeah, we winning.
Fuck niggas in the
business. My old bitch ain't acting right. My new bitch gon'
get it.
Hell yeah, that business.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know, the golden era of hip-hop, baby. You are now tuned into GQ Palace Radio with my man Rich Money. Yeah?
I mean, really, it was just how I was feeling at the time, man. I had a lot going on, man, and you know, it was kind of like, yo, I was on some, like, everybody can get the business right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, so when I started writing it, it was like, yo, this is how it is, but in the same breath, it's something everybody can feel, because you don't have to say what I say or do what I do, because when you go to work sometimes, yo, I want to get my boss the business right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo,
yeah.
Or yo, like, yo, old girl tripping, like, I can really go out here and get a new girl, you know what I'm saying? Like, she don't know, right, you know what I'm saying, right now. So it's really a record for everybody, man.
I definitely feel that joy right there. I definitely feel you on that statement, too. Now, at one point, you was doing beats.
Yeah, I actually still do, man. Like I slick produce. Yeah, I actually slick produce, man. Like a lot of people don't know it because I don't promote it that much. You know what I'm saying? But like on my projects, like I have a couple of my beats on there. I throw them out there. People are like, yo, who did that beat? I just be like, yo, Mr. Exclusive. They be like, yo, that's you, right? I'm like, yeah. So you know, I just kind of play those kind of games, people, man. But yeah, you know what I mean, I do beats on the slick side, man.
Mm-hmm. Now I see you had got a phone call from an old friend to get you back in the studio. So you must have had to stop for 1 minute, because when you stop, that gives you that writer's block. How did you get that mentality, that momentum to start writing again?
I mean, really, man. Like, it was like it wasn't moving. that's the problem with it. Like, you know, as an artist, especially an independent artist, like, you get frustrated, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't know what to do. You don't really know what direction to go into because you think your music is hot all day long. Like, you don't know anything about promotion, none of that, you know what I mean? You're just like, ah, man, it's not doing this. So I'm going to figure out something else to do to make some money, you know what I mean? So that's kind of what it was. Like, you know, I started making beats. Then my man, you know, I went to school with in Carolina. He called me. He was like, yo, you know, I got this record. You know, I said, I want you to get on it. So when he sent me the beat, I'm like, whoa. Whoa. So as soon as he sent it to me, I wrote it, and I went to the studio the next day, and I sent it to him. He was like, you sure you ain't been in the booth in a year? I'm like, yeah, I promise. So, you know, that's kind of where, you know what I'm saying, it picked back up there for me, man.
Wow. Now, let's talk about the birth of your label, Doing It Legacy Music Group. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actually, man, a couple of guys that I was with prior to, like, it wasn't a group situation. Everybody had their own thing going on. But my thing was I always wanted to own my own situation. I never wanted to work for somebody. I said when I left my job, I'm not going to work for anybody else. I'm going to own my own situation. You know what I mean? And that's included now in the industry. So, you know, I came up with Doing the Legendary Music Group, man. And, you know, everybody really didn't see the vision at the time. So a lot of people fell by the wayside. But now that it's doing what it's doing, you know, and I'm the only artist over there, minus my DJ Conflict, you know what I mean? So, you know, like right now that it's doing what it's doing, everybody's looking back like, oh, I see what you meant now, you know what I mean? But as they say, there's no room in the end, you know what I mean? So right now I'm just kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not looking for a lot of artists, you know what I mean? So when I pick up an artist on the label, it's going to be somebody exclusive. So somebody who's going to do something different, not trying to be Nicki Minaj per se or Rick Ross per se. I want you to be yourself when you come over here because that's what I'm going to be. I'm not going to sign off on anything other than, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Now, as you being the owner of your own independent, would you be interested in having a major label merge with you? Because I know a lot of independent labels wouldn't like a lot of major labels to merge with them because, you know, that means the major label would take off, you know, take over. I mean, would you be interested in having a major label merge with you and your independent label?
Well, here's the thing about that situation. It has to be an exclusive label deal. Well, pretty much what you provide for me is a check and distribution. You don't have any say-so over here on this side. You cut the check and I do the work because I've already put in work here, so obviously you came and talked to me for a reason. You see what I'm saying? So it has to be something we can work out together because, I mean, otherwise I might as well just sign an artist deal and hang myself. You know what I mean?
Exactly. See, that's what a lot of people don't realize when they have independent labels. Because a friend of mine, he has an independent label, and he was telling me, "Yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, me and you getting together, and you know, we going to a major label." No, that put a pause on it right there.
Nah,
you have an independent label, you brand that up yourself.
Yeah, let them come to you because they're only going to sit back and let you do so much by yourself. When they see you doing too much, hey, look, this is what I can do for you. No, this is what I want you to do for me. Versus what you say you can do for me. This is what I want you to do for me. Distribution, cut the check, let us party over here and do our thing. You don't co-sign on nothing because we're already doing this over here. That's why you over here already. So we're going to all make money together and keep it moving.
Exactly. Now, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you step into the booth?
Man, like, I do, like, I got a strange little thing I do in the booth, man. Like I don't even have a mindset. I'm just trying to, because, like, when I get in the booth sometimes, man, like, I have different tones with my voice. So when I get in the booth sometimes, I'm kind of like, yeah, you already know, I'm trying to find that level for whatever song I'm doing. I might be like, all right, yeah, that's it, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's not really a mindset. It's just kind of like a stretch mode, like if you're playing sports. Like, this is, let me stretch real quick. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Let me stretch. All right, that's it. Yeah. You know I mean?
We have another caller for you. I want to bring him on the line. Hello, caller.
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Yo, what's good? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Just have a couple questions for you. I'm definitely a new fan to start off.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. The question I have is, do you consider yourself a rapper or an MC?
Neither of the two. I'm an artist.
I love it. Excellent.
First and foremost, I mean, I'm an artist. I know a lot of rappers personally, and there are a lot of rappers on the radio, but the rappers overcrowd the artists sometimes, and people really don't know the difference. Like, a lot of people don't know the difference between rap and hip-hop. So that's that conversation, you know what I'm saying? But that's a long one. We don't have time for all that. But if you feel me, you feel me. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay, and then what age group are you trying to meet with your music?
I don't really have a target audience. You know what I mean? I put out music, and I just want people to feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to get a younger group. I'm not trying to get an older group. But I want to affect everybody as a whole, you know, with my music. You know what I mean? Because it's really beyond the music for me. You know, I just want to help people. You know what I mean? Like, the money I make from music, I want to give back to communities and do different things. You know, it's not about, you know, being platinum or doing this, that, and the third. Like, I want to be able to actually help people. And that's really honest. I've been doing that my whole life, even with no money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have any music that doesn't have, like, the, you know, the cursing in it?
I got some edited joints. I mean, I got edited joints. I have joints that I didn't know I wasn't cursing in until I heard the playback. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I got, like, that's how, you know, so, like, that's how it works for me. Like, I can't speak for any other artists, but, you know, I might write something down and be like, I didn't even say nigga in that round. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's crazy,
right,
but, you know, it's those type of things. But I have a lot of music that hasn't even been released. Like, and then I have a project that's soon to be coming out. We don't have a date on it yet because I have crazy samples on there and I got to get clearance and all this stuff. So as soon as I can find a way to get the clearance, you know, that's the ride for the album. But, you know.
Okay, and the music that's out right now, where can we go to purchase the music that's out right now?
Not for sale right now, but you can find it on SoundCloud. Not for sale right now. No, honestly, like I'm more into promoting myself versus making money right now. You know what I'm saying? So every time I put into what I'm doing right now is promotion. You know what I'm saying? Like, if nobody knows me, why would I throw a song on iTunes and nobody's going to buy it? You know what I'm saying? Like, because even your friends don't support you until somebody else does. Nobody likes you until somebody else likes you. Like, everybody says, you know, hey, I got your back, this, that, and third. Then when you put out a project, a mixtape, you don't get any downloads from your friends or whatever. You got, like, 8 downloads and 15 plays, you know what I mean? Come on, stop it, you know what I mean? So I just let people hear the record, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, how can I get that record? Well, you can't. Not right now. Don't look at me a certain way for saying that, but I mean, that's just honest though. You know what I mean? Like, yo, so you know, it's kind of putting the bait on there and really not catching the fish until it's time to just drop it all the way down in the water and pour something in. You feel me?
Right. Okay. All right. Well, definitely keep GQ Palace posted. I'm definitely interested, and I'm definitely a new fan. And I wish you the best in everything.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too.
Now, Mr. Exclusive.
Yes, sir.
I like that name, man. That's why I love that name. Mr. Exclusive. I had a lot of up-and-coming artists on period. I like that name, Mr. Exclusive. It's like a discreet name. It don't let you know. It tells you I'm discreet. You don't know what's going to happen next. Understand.
Right, and that's how I try to play it with the music, you know what I mean? Even in the club, so, I mean, even when I'm out, that's how I try to play it, you know what I mean? You never know. But definitely now, know when you see me or you hear me, it's not going to be anything like anybody else.
Exactly. Now, I know you submitted your stuff to Coast to Coast. What was it like for them to put you on a, you know, top 50 mixtape joint?
That was pretty dope, man. I mean, that was one of those things I didn't expect, you know what I'm saying? But I got it. But, you know, that wasn't even the highlight, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like that was a cool thing. But the most coolest things has happened recently, like since I dropped this single. Like I was actually on Desert Storm Radio with DJ Shadow Slim, and you know, he was spinning my record, and then I get an email a couple of weeks later, like, yo, here's the link to my new mixtape. So I'm like, all right, I'll rock with him because he's playing my record. But when I start looking at track listing, my record is number 19. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so those type of things you don't see coming are, like, really the best for me. That lets me know I'm doing something in the right direction. But for every step I take forward, you know, I stand back and I know I got more work to do, because it's not just like, oh, I'm comfortable now. Like, nah, okay, I'm rocking with y'all. Okay, boom, I'm on A station. I got calls calling in. Now when I hang up the phone, I got more work to do now, because now I got more people watching me. You feel what I'm saying?
Exactly. I definitely feel you. Now, tell us about your single, Somewhere.
That's a record I did with my girl Storm, man. Like, it was a crazy record. Like, I heard the beat, and again, like, it just kind of went. You know what I'm saying? I sat on that record. I take that back. I sat on that record for a couple of days when I had it, because I kept playing. I'm like, man, what am I going to do with this? You know what I mean? I was feeling the vibe, and I was like, all right. So I wrote the hook for her, and then I wrote my verse. Yeah. Yeah, I wrote the hook for her. Yeah.
Well,
I wrote the hook for her.
I heard it. I thought she probably did the hook, because she's singing it like she did.
No. I coached her. I mean, and believe it or not, that was her first time in the studio with me. I just happened to hear her singing a lot. Like, when she was around me, I always heard, I'm like, yo, I'm going to get you in the studio. She was like, all right, whatever, I hear you. And so I called her. I'm like, yo, I got a record for you. And she was like, yo, I'm on the way. So I coached her through a record. She heard it a couple of times, you know what I'm saying? Boom. And she went in there and did the damn thing. Like, she had been doing this, you know what I'm saying, for a minute. You feel me?
Wow. So you know what? We're going to get into that so everybody can hear what we're talking about. You know? All right.
Yeah,
John,
man.
Continuous.
I mean.
Go ahead. What you going to say? What you going to say? Exclusive, guy?
Oh, no. Nah. I mean, this is just that. You know what I'm saying? That out of space record, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you do your thing, whatever you do, whatever your vice is, you know, if you somewhere different when you come home at 4 o'clock in the morning from wherever you come from, this is where you at, somewhere, because you don't have a clue. You know what I mean?
All right. We gonna get into that right now. All right, God, the Divas. Here's another banger by Mr. Exclusive, Somewhere, featuring Storm. Remember where you heard it, GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Following scene contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Keep your power, yeah. Radio House.
this is Dose. On Friday, I listen to GQ Palace Radio with my boy, Rich Money.
Good. This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know the golden era of hip hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio with my man Rich Money. Yeah?
I'm faded, she wasted. I'm faded, she wasted. She got me on Jamaica, that's my Cuban chick. I gotta take a shot for a quarter shit. Game winner, watch me knock it down. Changing faces like them singers when it's going down. Hold it down, girl, don't throw it up. You need a chaser for this shit, I'm in here pouring up. Vision cloudy, I can't see what all the smoke around me. Shit.
Man, the next step, man, is FM, man. Like, I'm really just trying to go major now because I'm on so many internet stations. And really, first of all, let me backtrack and give y'all a shout out for even having on y'all show. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been getting a lot of support from the internet stations, you know, with my single and just doing what I'm doing, man, like doing interviews and just people spinning my record just because, like, it's people spinning my records. I don't even know they're spinning my records, you know what I mean? So I just want to give a salute to all the, you know what I'm saying, the independent, you know, internet stations and whatnot, man, because y'all really putting me where I need to go, you know what I'm saying? Not only me, but other artists, you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of artists doing what I'm doing, man. So, you know, I'm just trying to go to the next level now and really just brand myself as, you know, my label and, you know, my personal name and, you know, everything else I got going on, man, my media company and the whole nine, man. So, really, I salute all of y'all, man, just for, you know, giving me the opportunity and the platform to do what I do. You feel me?
No doubt, no doubt. And definitely an honor for you coming on, too, man. Definitely an honor. Now, what else you looking to get into? Because, you know, a lot of artists, you know, they also get into the acting, they get into the clothes designing. Are you looking to get into something else, like in that nature? Or are you just sticking with the music?
Nah, man, like it's beyond music for me, man. Like, music is just what I know how to do, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just my niche, you know what I'm saying? It was God-given, so, you know, it's like you need to use this to do something else, you know what I mean? So this is just a stepping stone, you know what I mean? So I'm just blessed to be able to do it, and I hope I can continue to be able to do it, you know? But other ventures, you know, I'm always open to new opportunities. Clothing lines, which is something I'm working on right now. You know, I'm really trying to get into the alcohol game as far as the liquor sponsors and, you know, with my single. And, you know, like, I'm doing an audition April 4th for a little independent film, you know. So I don't have any limits. Like, I don't look at things like, oh, well, he's not who you say he is. He's an actor. He's not a rapper. Like I make money. I'm in the business of making money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a business to run. I have a family to feed. I'm in the business of making money. So whatever I can do and people like that I can do that and they want to pay me for that, then that's what I do. You know what I mean? I don't do anything that compromises my actual, you know, beliefs or whatnot. But at the same time, you know, if I like it, then boom, I run with it. You know, I don't have any preferences, you know what I mean, as far as where I can go or the next level because, I mean, it's actually endless. You see what I'm saying? And it's, I want to give a message to the haters real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Not even my haters. Not even my haters. Just haters in general. I want to give y'all some information. The U.S. Mint prints out money every day. The money they don't use, they burn. There's enough money out here for everybody. So stop worrying about what everybody else got and go get yours. You know what I'm saying?
For real, for real. Definitely. Well, you know, Mr. Exclusive, I want to thank you for joining us. It definitely was an honor to have you on. What I want you to do is give everybody your information, how they can contact you. You know, they want to get this, you know, let them know about getting the songs and everything, your shout-outs, do everything.
First of all, you know what I'm saying, for any booking information or just to find out whatever you need to find out, email doingitlegendarymusicgroup@gmail.com. You can also hit me up via phone at 404-482-7511. And I'm on Facebook. You can find my fan page at DILMG Exclusive. My label page is Doing It Legendary Music Group, LLC. But my bread and butter, where you'll see me at 9 times out of 10, is Instagram, at Mr. Exclusive Uno. I like to post pics, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get a lot of love on Instagram, so I stay over there a lot, you know what I mean?
Now, do you
and
have
I wanna,
any acts coming up anytime soon?
I'm actually doing a day party tomorrow, man, at O'Reilly's here in Atlanta, man, on the east side, man. I'm going to be at O'Reilly's at 3 tomorrow from 3 to 7. I'm helping promote the event. Shout out to Lady Red, man. Shout out to my dog, Silence. You know what I'm saying? Like, they doing big things, man. So I'll be over there tomorrow. I got a couple of artists coming through there that I kind of linked up with, man. I want to shout out to my dog, P. Weezy. I want to shout out Lean Green. Let me shout out Juma Smith, you know what I mean, and the whole movement, Young Guap, you know what I mean. Everybody's doing major things, man, so I just try to stay connected, man, and just work with good people, man. So, you know, like, if I see the shadiness, it's over, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need the extra in my life. I did it already, you know what I mean?
I definitely feel you on that, for sure. So, Mr. Exclusive, you know you're welcome back anytime. You definitely going to rotate the stars, you know. You definitely gonna be putting a magazine. You know, if anything, just hit me up. If anything, you send those exclusives, just let us know so we can rotate them. You know, you're welcome back anytime. It's never a problem. If you got any artists you want to interview or that, you got the number, you got the digits, hit me up and let me know, son.
Yo, not a problem. I appreciate y'all for having me once again, man. Real talk.
No doubt. Mr. Exclusive, Dons and Divas. All right, y'all, coming up next, we got Mr. Kenny Walker, and we're going to talk about his book, 60 Minutes from Hell. Now, this man's book is going to make you really think about life and everything that he has to say about it. So tune in and don't move. This is G2 Palace Radio, Love Entertainment. It's Butter Baby.
I feel mighty fine, y'all. I got music on my radio.
Friday night is Spend My Time Listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment on G2 Palace Radio. It's Butter Baby.
Dynamic duo, Batman and Batman.
Hey, hey, it's Kim. On Friday nights, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment on GQ Power Radio. It's Butter Baby.
Boogie just stepped in the club.
And
good. This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know the golden era of hip hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio with my man Rich Money. Yeah.
Money on GQ Palace Radio.
Are you there?
Oh, you want Barry? I believe Barry is here.
Yeah.
Barry is here.
Okay, I just wanted to...
Barry?
I just...
Yeah, Barry is here.
Okay, I just wanted to... Just to make sure that he was there. I just want to thank everybody for letting me come out on the show tonight to talk about the book, 60 Minutes from Hell, that the Lord has given me a vision to write. And also my co-writer, Sue Evans, here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay. I know you wanted Barry on the line. Barry, if I need you to move away from a speaker or something that you're next to, because when I put you on the air live, I'm hearing an echo. So I need you to move from like a speaker. If you're near a speaker, you know, move from the speaker. Okay, Barry?
Yeah, what's up, brother?
Hey, okay, brother, how you doing?
Kenny,
what's up, my brother, Kenny? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing okay, man. Being blessed, man, to come on here and to share the Lord's vision for this book, 60 Minutes from Hell.
There you go.
First of all, I'd just like to say that myself, the lifestyle that I live, the drugs that I did, it's no glory to Satan and those things that I did in the past. The glory goes out to our Lord Jesus Christ, who saved me, who brought me, and put me on that wheel, the potter's wheel, and molded me to who I am today in Christ.
Now,
and I give God gets all the glory.
Now, let me ask you.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you up, Kenny.
But no, that's okay.
Is why you're getting into it. Let them know if you don't have a problem with what made you decide to write this book, and how did you come up with the title, 60 Minutes from Hell? What made you decide to name the book that title?
Okay, how I came out to name the book 60 Minutes from Hell, it's from where my drug addiction got. Pardon?
No,
it's from where my...
I had to take Barry off because he's by a speaker or something right now, and I keep getting the
Okay.
So I'm going to bring Barry back. I want to see him move from the speaker, but for now, I just need you to tell us about your book and what made your name
okay.
60 Minutes there from now.
Okay, how I got the name from... It came through my drug addiction.
Mm.
And back in 2000... 2007, I overdosed on those Oxycontin, Oxycodone, and Xanax that I was taking. And I was taken to the hospital up in Martin County, Jensen Beach, Florida. And my friend that dropped me off there, he waited to hear the news if I was alive or dead. They came out and told him that if they would have waited another 60 minutes, 1 hour, that I would have been dead.
Wow.
So that's where the Lord was showing me that I was 60 minutes from hell right there, because I was in sin. I wasn't born again. I wasn't living a Christian life. And that's where I came up with the name 60 Minutes from Hell. But I believe I got a little bit closer than 60 minutes from when I was in my coma. I caught pneumonia, and I caught a high fever. And they had to call my family up to let them know that I wasn't going to live through the night. And, you know, that they came up there, they prayed over me, and praise the Lord, 2 days later, I came out of that coma. And they don't know how it happened, because the girl, the nurse, was telling me she was watching all my vital signs. I was in the ICU. They were watching every second. And just by one split second, my pneumonia was healed. I came out, no fever. And they didn't know how it happened, because it wasn't the doctors. They gave up on me. They gave up on me. They said, everything that we're trying to keep your son alive is not working. And it was just that God touched me, and he healed me just like that. But,
so let me ask you. Now, what actually made, I know you said, you know, you almost passed away, but after you came out of it, what made you really decide to sit down and start writing? Like, what gave you that momentum to be like, okay, I'm going to write a book on stating what happened to me about my life? What actually gave you that? What made you decide to actually write this?
Well, what happened there was, when I came out, I didn't directly go, you know, out and said, hey, I got to share this with somebody. I had to go through rehab, secular rehab, and then I got into a faith-based mission. And after I graduated the program, the Lord was showing me that I needed to share this, to give hope to the desperate that are out there today, that are strung out on dope, that are drinkers, that are alcoholics, that are in depression, and to share my testimony on what God did. So I went ahead and I was running from that responsibility like I always have been in my whole life. I would run from responsibility, and I didn't want to do it. God would send me out of the mission, and he was telling me, I want you to write this. And I was going like, no, I don't. I didn't have the faith. I did not have that faith in me. And so what happened was I ran back into the mission, and then God prepared a great big fish, which is a Greyhound bus, and he pulled me right back out. And then he put it on my heart. He goes, listen, I want you to write this. Now, I'm going to give you somebody. He goes, I want you to go to this person and ask if she will help you co-write it. And it's a dear friend of mine I grew up with since I was 9 years old. Her name is Sue Evans. She's a Christian. She's very anointed. She's very intelligent. And I went to her, and she said, yeah, I would love to do it. She always wanted to be a writer. I always known that. So we sat down, and at first I was trying to pawn this off on her, like give a couple stories. I would write down a couple notes on a piece of paper, and I would just give it to her, go, here. You know, I was trying to pawn, you know. I go like, here, you're the one who has the talent. You know, here's some stories, put it together. But no, God didn't want that. It went on for 100 days. About 4 months, you know. And you know, I was going like, okay, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. You want me to sit behind the computer and with one finger go ahead and type it out. So what we did, we got together, and she helped me on the computer deal, setting up an email, and we email everything back and forth. And I'm telling you, God has just put an anointing on this book. You could just see God moving in it. And how... Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. What you want to say? Can you go ahead? Can you? Well,
what's that?
I was going to ask you, do you have a special time that you write? How is your day structured when you're writing? Do you have a special time?
No, I just went when God leads me to. I'm available. Right now, I'm here in Fort Lauderdale at my family's home where my mom is ill with Alzheimer's disease, and I'm helping out here. And when I started this project, you know, I was going out, ready to go out, get a job and all that. And I shared this with my father. I said, Dad, I said, God wants me to write this book. And I shared it with me and goes, listen, I want you to not get a job. I'll take care of this. He goes, I want you to sit behind the computer and write the book, write the story. He even seen it after the first two pages. He goes, where did you learn how to write? And I'm going like, I don't know how. I said, that's God just using my finger and putting it on my heart to move. And he really, really has. And it's like, okay, so I usually write like mostly at night, like around 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning is when I do my writing. But sometimes I get up, if God goes ahead and says, get behind there, I go ahead and get behind there. You know?
So what was the hardest thing about writing the book, 50 Minutes from Hell?
The hardest thing so far is believing. It's my faith. I have sometimes, but then again, he shows that he's the anointing on it, you know? At first, I was having a problem with my faith that, this is not going to be, you know, this is nothing, you know. But it is. He's turning it into what he wants written. It's what he wants shared. What God wants shared, to share that message that faith, that these three remain. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And that's what this whole message, this whole book is about, to share with them the addicted, the desperate out there.
Now, I know, like, we have Barry on the air. We're trying to get rid of that echo. I know he played some parts in it, which, you know, you said you had came to him one day. He came to you, a sign in that nature, I remember you saying.
How Barry and I hooked up?
Yes.
Okay, how Barry and I hooked up, Barry James, we hooked up in the, at first, it was the Broward Addiction Recovery Center, and that's where I first went into detox, the only time in my life. And how this happened was God opened up the door. There was 10 people waiting for one bed. And I walked right by him, right to the receptionist, and they seen how bad a condition I was in, and they just accepted me right there. Well, Barry was in the program, and he kind of like was my guardian angel on how he was there by my side 24/7, encouraging me to go day by day to take that step, you know, because I didn't want to live because of what I put my family through, you know. So this went on. I graduated that program, went into, I'm probably I went into the mission after that, about 2 months after that, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it alone. And I mean, I didn't have no foundation. I didn't have anything. People were already trying to get me back in to do what I was doing, and I just had to get away. So when I was going to find out about Mission Teens program, my father was taking me over to meet this lady, Dr. Eleanor Marski, that knew some people in the mission, and I went into an epileptic seizure. Satan was trying to take me out. He didn't want me to find out about Mission Teens. But when I came out, it was too late because hands were laid upon me. I found out about Mission Teens. And after I came out of the hospital 3 days later, I went right into the program up in Kentucky. And when I left there, and then I went back, and then I was going back again, I was up in Atlanta bus depot, Greyhound bus depot, and I was sitting there, and there's this guy that walked in there and reminded me of Barry. I'm going like, man, that guy looks just like Barry. 60 seconds later, Barry walks through that door. Barry was coming, I guess, Barry was coming from New York. He had to Atlanta when his son was picking him up. But his son was running late, so he thought he'd wait in there for a couple minutes. And here I come around the corner when I see him, and I just gave a big old hug, and I was really excited. You could see that God had something planned for us to do together, you know. So he got down. I gave him the phone number of my family's house, and he contacted me up in the mission. And we've been in contact since.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, how do you think you evolve creatively in writing? Because would you consider yourself an author, or do you just consider yourself a person that is writing his book on behalf of his life, and that's going to be it?
No, I believe he's the author, I believe. I'm just the messenger. This book is for me just to go share the message of hope in the churches today. Because if you walk into a church today, if I stand behind the pulpit and I ask everybody in there if they themselves, or do they know a loved one, or if they have a friend of a loved one that's struggling with drug addiction, alcoholism, depression, every hand will go up. So I want to share this to the church, this message. God is, and this is just a tool. This message is, these three remain. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. He wants to share that there's hope for them today. There's a place that they could go that doesn't even cost them anything. To go there for 8 months and get the healing they need. And that's all I believe. I'm the messenger.
Now, let me ask you, what about your cover? How you plan on presenting the cover of this book? Because I'm trying to picture a cover for the book 60 Minutes from Hell. Is there a cover you're going to have? Is it going to be hard copy, soft cover copy?
Yeah, I believe it's going to be a hard copy, but it's going to be a hard book cover. But then it's going to have that paper covering the way I envisioned it. I envision just a person, you know, just right there at the gate of hell with the clock ticking, you know, 60 seconds, you know, from entering in, you know, or 1 foot in the grave, you know, a vision of, you know, a person of me just standing there with my foot in the grave, an open pit. And that's where I was, and that's where God pulled me out of. That's how I envision it.
Now, let's talk about your publishing. Are you looking for a publishing company, or do you feel like you're going to be self-publishing when it comes out?
Now, that I am working on, I don't know which road I'm going to take yet. I've been praying on it. And there is a family member, my brother's sister-in-law, that works for somebody that has written many books. As a matter of fact, he has a new book out called The Devil Has No Mother. His name is Nicky Cruz. And he's the one who wrote that Christian book, Run Baby Run, and many others, Soul Obsession. But I don't know if I'm going to go self or if I'm going to be if the Lord's going to open up doors through who you know, so I'm praying on that still, if it's going to be self published or I'm going to find a publisher.
So let me ask you, do you think the cover of a book plays an important part in the buying process of it?
Yeah, that I would say it does. It would have a big part of it. And you know, I'm so blessed that I have a niece who's an artist. You know, that I could go and just tell her, and she's very talented, and I could just go ahead and have her call up a couple things. And, you know, the Lord works in those ways, and people do go ahead and, you know, but yeah, the book, the cover of it, yeah, we'll go ahead. You'll see that cover, and you'll see the name 60 Minutes from Hell, and that will draw your attention right there.
Yes, just the total. But I want to bring a caller. No, we got a caller. I want to speak to you. The line just flooded. So if you want to speak to Kenny Walker and you are already on the line, just press 1 to go on the air. If you're on your PC, the number to call, 646-200-3838, and press 1 to go on the air. We're going to bring a call, and I believe that's Barry right there. I want to speak to Barry on the air.
Yes, sir, brother.
Okay, yeah. Kenny,
hey, Barry.
Hey, Kenny, you know, this is a whole God thing, you know. Like, he put me in life when you were saying, you said that my brother died and I needed to die before him because I was a black sheep of the family. But God had a plan for you, you know, and you said your brother lived right all his life. And you just screwed up all your life. But, you know, like I said, God takes, you know, guys that are, you know, down and out, whatever, and he turns them into diamonds in the rough. And that's what you are, and that's what I am, you know. And we've come together. And it's imaginary that, you know, I met you in the bus station, whatever, and then, like, all the stuff we've been through, and here we are now on GQ Palace. And it's nothing but God's grace, you know. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm glad that you're taking, you know, you put that in the past, because he put me by you. You said that I wanted to give up. I don't want to live no more, this and that. And he put me in your life for a reason. And now this is the thing that's coming together right now. So it's all God's grace, man. So we got to keep moving on.
Oh, yeah. God will keep on opening up those doors for us. As you know, like I said, this book is just a tool. What I'm praying is to start that ministry of Hope in the Cross ministry, outreach ministry, so we can reach these ones that are lost, that are in addiction.
Yeah.
You know, and to help them take that first step into getting into a faith-based mission. I'm sorry that the STEP program didn't work for me, but it has worked for others, you know, but I know what worked for me. And that's Jesus Christ, the faith-based man. And that's where I learned about Jesus, and that's where I learned about building a foundation.
And even when I was in Florida, I ran the sober house and stuff, and I asked you to come over and speak back then, even before we met in Atlanta. And you came over when we met in Calvary Church, and you came over, you know, your father lent you the car, and
right.
It's been a good goal from then, you know?
Yeah, it's just when we're there, we're all about his business.
Right.
We're not about, you know, and you know, it's, you know, like I said, this book is just a tool for me to go ahead and share the message that God has given me. And I'm glad that he's put people in my path that go ahead and be there for me. Because, like I said, you know, you were saying my brother was the good son. Yeah,
right.
And I didn't want to live he's the one who led the righteous life. And me, I was the rebellious son, the one that was on that path of death and destruction. And like he used Paul. You know, I always share this in a testimony that in 1 Timothy 1:15 it says, "This is a faithful saying worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, who I am chief."
Right.
You know, and that's where I see myself as one of the worst drug addicts that was out there.
Right.
You know, and, you know, born and raised in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, you know, there's a bar on every corner. We had spring break. I was right in the middle of it. You
right.
know, all those things. I have stories about spring break that I was involved in the book. You know,
Let me ask you. If it came down to a point of them wanting to use your book as a film, a play, would you want to be involved in that play, or would you just...
I would definitely like to be involved and show a little bit of guidance, a little bit of truth, you know, but the truth is right there in the writing, you know, of what I'm sharing, the sin that I was in, you know, but yeah, if somebody came to me and wanted to write a story on it, write a play about it, yeah, I would love to be involved in that. You know, that's how, you know, that the cross and the switchblade came together. Nikki Cruz and his ministry. He's known worldwide, you know. He's known around the world. He's through his testimony, he's brought so many thousands and hundreds of thousands of people through his testimony to the Lord, you know. And I know I shared my testimony with people that, and they came to the Lord. But, you know, hey, if it was for that one, you know, there it is, Lord. I did what your my purpose was, to share that testimony, you know. Because, you know, when we're in the ministry, that's what we do. We go ahead and share our testimonies, you know, with people and share what the Lord is doing in our lives and his grace, how rich he is in his grace and his mercy.
We have another caller for you, Kenny. I want to bring them on.
Okay.
Hello? Okay. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, Kenny.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Did you just say that you really want to, like, just put this book into the churches?
No, I just don't want to. I want to bring that message to the church. I want to bring it to schools. Anywhere the Lord sends me, I will bring it, the message.
Because the reason I ask that, because if it's a, you know, I understand the you know, title of it, but mm-hmm. if it's about you and your recovery, that would be a good place, the like halfway houses, things like that, prisons, that
right.
would be a good place for that book to be.
Wherever the Lord will open up that door for me to go ahead and to share the message of hope, faith,
mm-hmm.
and love, my feet are going to walk through it.
Do you plan on writing more books?
Right now, I'm really up to this one, but yeah, the Lord does already have one. He's put on my heart.
Okay. Yeah, you know, because I've had people to say, you know, when you express your life, what you've been through, you know, I'm sure if so, everyone could really just get into it, you know, because I have so many things that happened in my life that if I was to just sit down and concentrate, I could do it too. But
mm-hmm.
what would be your words to tell someone? Just say, for instance, like me, if I chose to sit down and get my thoughts together and write a book, what would you tell me that I need to do first?
Walk in faith, not by sight.
Okay.
You know, it's
what
your
would
faith.
Be the main, you know, I understand that, most definitely.
Right.
But
you
what would your words of encouraging me that I could do just as well as you doing?
My word, that with man, it really is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I know that if God, I encourage you to go ahead and do that. I encourage everyone to go ahead and share their testimony and to go ahead and see how big our God is.
The hardships and everything, right?
Yeah, the hardships and everything. And what God did with this book, and I'm not an ordained minister. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And what I have going in this book here, also the Lord has shown me on each one of my chapters. Like the first chapter is called Blessed or Cursed. I've contacted pastors to go ahead and write a 5-page devo to add on there. Not about what is going involved in the chapter. It's about them writing a devotion on blessed or cursed.
Uh-huh.
You know, and this book is just not only a testimonial book, a transformation book, and a vision. At the end, it shows where my vision is going, what God's vision has given me to go and do. It's there to, you know, it's given me ordained ministry. Like the second chapter, 7x7. Now, I have a pastor that's working on that devotion. And that what 7x70 means is that's how many times we're supposed to forgive one another in a day. 490 if we sin against a brother or a sister,
right.
You know?
So, with that being said, you know, like just me, I never even thought of, you know, even thinking about writing a book or anything like that, and to do a fresh start, do you start with your most inner thoughts of your worst part of the life, say how that you've lived or what you've been through?
I'm going to share this with you, and I'll show you how I started the book out, okay? The way the Lord was showing me,
mm-hmm.
Go back to your first childhood memory.
Okay.
That's how he did it with me. He wanted me to go ahead and share my first memory. And here, I'm going to share with you... And, you know, it wasn't a really good memory, you know, about like Christmas. I share my Christmas that I had with my family and that about going out and picking out the tree and decorating it. And my mom's cooking the cookies in the kitchen, and the dad and us are setting up the Christmas tree and bringing out the plate for Santa. And we all sit around and dad tells us, you know, the story of, was the night before Christmas, and then he also ends it with the birth of Jesus Christ. He did that. You know, those are really fond memories.
Right,
you know,
right.
But the memory that I had when I grew up, my first memory was of the Cuban Missile Crisis. I was 3 years old. I had that printed in my mind of fear of death and destruction, not of just of the world. We were so close. At that point, from I don't know how old they are, if you remember it, but that's where God sent me to just help me start this. He wanted to start with my fears.
well, see, you know, I think my most hurtful and detrimental thing that I went through as a kid was when I was 11 and lost my mother. You know, and just seemed like after that, things just like, you know, the molestation, all of these things start happening in my life.
Right.
You know, and then as I got a little bit older, I started using drugs, you know.
Right.
And it took me to get busted before I stopped, you know.
Right. You know, and that's you know, as a matter of fact, I just share on how in chapter 3 it's called The Lord Giveth, The Lord Taketh.
Mm-hmm.
And I share in my family on how God gave life to everlasting life. Because we were brought up Catholics. And then my family started switching into Christianity. And then, but there was the Lord taketh away. And I also had to deal with a lot of death in my life, you know. And there are scriptures all in the Bible that says the Lord heals the broken in heart and he binds up those wounds. That's in Psalms 147:3, you know. But I share that hurt and that pain. But when I was out there in my mess, that's what I did to take those drugs, that hole in my soul that I had. But God heals that.
Yeah, well, I did the drugs because my ex-husband, you know, he was doing it. And, I mean, before that, you know, my baby's father, he was like, you know, won't you try it? And I was like, I've seen too many people, like, going, like, in different directions, you know, with the crack and everything like that. And I just didn't want to go there. And then when I got with my ex-husband, he probably did it for about 6 months to almost a year, you know, and it just seemed like they was, like, getting into it so much. I was like, well, maybe I just try a little something. That one hit, you know, because I started chasing the ghost then.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know where I also share in the book is when I threw away the gift that God given me, and that was I was groomed up to be a ball player. I grew up in Stadium Park, Fort Lauderdale, just about a quarter mile from where the Yankees used to have their spring training. And, you know, I threw that away for drugs, for a high. And that I was like that, you know, that kid, the Life cereal commercial? Hey, give it to Mikey. He'll try anything. I was that guy. I was like, hey, man, whatever drug it is, give it to me. I'll try it. And I did it, you know? And, you know, all the way from LSD, heroin, everything underneath the sun. I did everything. And that was before I was 17 years old. I was just a child. But I was hurt. I was in pain. You know, I was a rebellious son. I held resentment. I share all of it. I share my true feelings that I had toward my father, you know. And you know what? You know, me and my father have an awesome relationship today, and it's based on Jesus Christ. It's based on truth. You know, that's all God.
Right.
God can only do that.
Right. Well, I mean, I want to definitely commend you, you know, hands down, that, you know, seem like you're on the right track and everything. That, you know, I've heard you quite a few times on this show, the spiritual show. And I just want to tell you, you know, keep your head up and always keep God first.
Always.
You know, because if we don't keep him first, then, you know, we're going to always stray.
That's true. That's true. And I just want to share some encouraging words to sit down behind that computer and start out one word at a time. And the Lord will bring it. The Lord, because Lord is going to be glorified. That's what this is about. This is glorifying God, not Kenny, not the drugs, not the lifestyle.
Right.
You know,
Thank you, Kenny.
Is about all God. You're welcome. And your name is?
And I'm sure I'll hear more from you, you know, in the near future.
Yeah. Well, how do you catch your name?
I'm T. This is T.
Okay. T. Okay,
turn another T.
Hey, I even caught that. I even caught that song.
Turn another T.
I even tried T.
I'm sorry. Did nobody ask you?
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
but
God bless you, Sister T.
So, you know,
we can laugh and stuff.
Yeah, we can.
I know
laugh
Mikey could have heard my voice.
No fool, no fun.
You would have thought that he knew who it was, Mikey, if you heard my voice, but maybe my voice changed every once in a while, you know.
But he knew it last show because he told me to turn the other cheek. Now he don't know who you are, but that's okay.
Hey, heard it. You know what I used to do? I didn't turn it. I used to duck.
He knew you before, but now he's after money, but that's all.
I went ahead. I duck. I don't turn the other cheek.
Right.
You know, but Kenny, Kenny, you're a blessing, man. You know, and like I said, there was no mistake that we've seen each other in a bus station. There's no mistake that I've seen you in church and you came to speak in the soap houses I ran. And it's just the beginning, you know, and we're so blessed to be, like, on GQ Palace, like, sharing the word and giving the honor to God and everything else. And, like I said, I want to thank Rich and TC and Lavina because that's what it's about, you know. And praise is about everything, you know. And like I said, your attitude, misery, love, company, whatever. But it's about life and being honest. So if we be honest to, you know, everybody, and that's what it's about. We're going to grow and grow and grow and reap what we sow. So it's good. It's all good in the neighborhood.
I appreciate that.
So, Kenny, let me ask you.
I love you, bro.
Let me ask you this.
Love you too, man.
If you could have been the original author of any book, what would it have been and why?
What's that now? Go ahead and repeat that.
If you could have been the author, the original author of any book, which book would it have been and why?
Okay. It would have to be Nikki Cruz's book, Run, Baby, Run. Because reading that book, and it was at the beginning of my in the mission, in the faith-based mission, it showed me and it helped me start, I don't know what I'm going to say, the beginning of wisdom. That book showed me that at the beginning of that book that this man did not fear God. And it was showing that I had that same thing. I didn't fear God. I didn't have the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord. And that's the beginning of wisdom. The first thing that I had to do was to fear God. And that's where that Run, Baby, Run, Nikki Cruz's book came in and showed me that, man, this guy did not fear God at all. He's going ahead. He was ready to cut up Pastor Davey Wilkerson in 1,000 pieces with a knife. You know, I mean, that's in The Cross and the Switchblade, the one that Davey Wilkerson wrote about Nikki Cruz and how he came to, but Nikki later on wrote Run, Baby, Run. But that book really spoke to me, and it exposed, especially about the fear of the Lord. I didn't fear him. And then when I started reading it, I started to fear God. And that was the beginning of wisdom. Then I started to take one step at a time because it's baby steps. I'm a baby in Christ. You know, I didn't even know when I first went into the mission, I didn't know how to pray. I was, man, these guys were sitting in a devotion and they pray about everything. In the Mission Peace program, you pray about everything. You know, that's about exercising your faith. And boy, man, these guys sounded like they were professionals. And they were all ex-drug addicts.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Do you think if it had not been for drugs that you would be walking the walk that you're walking now?
Yeah, if it wasn't for drugs, I had to go through it, yeah.
So absolutely. You feel like that's what brought you closer to, you know, the master?
On the road to Damascus?
No. The road to God, in other words.
Well, that's where I got that, on that road to Damascus.
Okay.
Is when God got my attention. He knocked me off my high horse. That's another name of a chapter in the book. Called The Road to Damascus is when God got my attention. So
okay.
I'm like, son.
Well, see, I'm still learning, so.
Yeah, I you know, that's okay. I'm still a baby in Christ, too, T.
The thing is, you know, we all have to go through something, I think.
Yes, we do.
To just show us, you know, whether it be on a deathbed or whatever. And that's why if you get a chance, listen to this song, It Could Have Been Me, you know, because I've hit rock bottom a couple of times, and yeah, I've been like, wow, I'm still here to tell somebody about it. But you know, at the same time, I would do good, and then I'd just stray away again. You know, and that's why I said, yeah, I could think of a lot of things, and I could think of a lot of titles too for a book, you know. You
right.
know, Straddling the Fence. You know, hey, I made it. You know, I'm still
mm-hmm.
here. I could think of a million and one night of titles, you know, for that book. But, you know, my thing would be, like, where do I really start?
I
understand
too.
What you said before, just get on the computer. But, you know, I think I would get lost in the mix somewhere
trying to
put it all together.
God will direct you. He'll give you that vision, as he's given me for this book, that vision of each chapter. I have one of the weirdest names of a chapter that anybody could ever have named in my book. And I haven't even written it yet. But I know he's already showed me this vision. And it had to do about a girl that was in a mission. She was about 19 years old. She was only in there about like 3 months. And I was a full counselor in the mission. I already graduated. I stayed on as a full-time counselor. And she came up to me, and she said, you know what? You remind me of Mater. I said, what? What is a Mater? She goes, yo, haven't you ever seen the Disney movie Cars? And I said, no. I said, what's a Mater? And then she explained to me that I sounded like this character in this Disney film called Cars. So, you know, I was going like, God is trying to show me something here. And he showed me a complete transformation on how to go ahead and we're just like a car in a that gets totaled out and we get dragged in to a shop, a car does. It gets beaten down. It's got that old shell of a car had to be taken off. And you know what? That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, take off the old man and put on the new. You know? And then, you know, it says, after you take all those things off of a car, right? You just take it apart and everything. And it starts with this. It starts with the frame. The frame is the foundation that you build in Jesus Christ. And then next thing you do is you put in the engine. And your engine is your heart. Create in me a new heart. And Ezekiel, it says, he will take out the old stony heart and put in the heart of flesh. He will give you a new spirit. You know, that heart, that engine has oil in it. Oil is an emblem of the Holy Spirit. You know, the engine has water. That also is an emblem of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? Fire, spark plugs, that's also an emblem of the Holy Spirit. Wind, you got your fan going on. That's also an emblem of the Holy Spirit. You know, it goes with the heart. God showed me this vision of how we're transformed out of a car after how she called me Mater. And that's what I named the chapter. I'm going to name the chapter. She called me Mater.
Yeah,
and it's the transformation.
That's just like right now, you know, I just read something in the forum, but it's like he's also saying, I need to get more of him before I can do something and express anything.
I
need to get more of him before I can really get into it. Because I do. I'll admit, I have a short extension. I know that I'll start something and I won't finish it. But this road that I'm trying to travel and be closer to God, that's definitely going to be a finish.
Okay.
You know, I can't stop
scripture.
In the midst of this again.
Hey, I'll give you a perfect scripture you could go to. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousnesses, and all these things shall be added unto you. Like you were saying, you keep him first. You seek him first. He will give you the words to say. He'll work those fingers, you know, to give you to share what you need to share to the ones that you want to share to, the people that are in prison, your story, your testimony. They'll give you those words.
Right. Okay, Kenny.
Yeah.
Okay, you're running out of time. What I want you to do is, do you have any information on your book? Like, if they, you know, because you actually didn't finish the book yet.
No, I haven't finished the book. I'm about halfway done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord has shown me the vision through the whole book, right down to the last chapter, to the last word. And, you know, it takes a lot of time, though. You know, some things have to be worked on. My co-writer, Sue Evans, she's just so anointed. And I also would just like to say, I don't know if she's listening, but I just like to share that thanks to her husband, Steve. He's about going to retire. You know, he goes ahead and he's allowing her to share, you know, this project that we're doing. You know, and Steve's taking a lot of sacrifices. He's giving up, a lot of stuff, you know, for his wife to work on this project. And he's a big part of the book, too, Steve is, just for the sacrifices he's taking each day. And, you know, it's all in the Lord's time, you know, and things are looking really well. People, like you're saying, are already talking about it, you know, and that's getting the word out. Before you know it, it's going to be on the shelf.
Exactly. So, you know, Kenny, I want to thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, man, Brother Rich.
It's an honor having you on. I want you to get back to us as soon as you finish that book so we can let everybody know exactly where they can buy that book, get that book, and know everything about that.
Absolutely, all Rich. Right. I appreciate being on. Thank you a lot.
Thank you, Kenny. It was an honor having you on.
Thank you very much. Kenny, God bless y'all.
Day to you. Kenny Walker, Dons and Demons. Right, y'all. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all the callers. I want to thank all the guests. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Don't forget, GQ Palace have 8 different episodes, 11 different hosts on Sunday, but not this Sunday, because we actually have something going on. So I believe this Sunday there will not be a spiritual Sunday or Crossroad Temple for this Sunday. So there will not be a spiritual Sunday or Crossroad Temple this Sunday. But you can catch them the following week after Miss Lavina for Life from 7 to 9 as she brings the most powerful evangelists, elders, pastors, and ministers as she plays gospel music, or speaks of the Bible as well. Feel free to call in and give your testimony at Spiritual Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. with Miss Lavina for Life every Sunday. Then from 9 to 10, we have Crossroad Temple for Brother Timothy Squibby Hunter as he interviewed the best gospel and hip-hop gospel right after Spiritual Sunday, 9 to 10, every Sunday. Then on Monday, you have UAR, Unsigned Artist Radio, as we play nothing but the hottest unsigned artists and pioneer music never heard before from 8 to 9 p.m. Then from 9 to 11, we have Love, Life, and Loyalty with Ms. Deanne Lane. She will be back soon. She's taking care of some big projects, and there's a lot of things going on with her, so she's also filling in GQ Palace on a big project she's working on, so make sure y'all stay tuned for that, because she will be back, her and King Roozy with Love, Life, and Loyalty on Mondays, 9 to 11. Then on Tuesdays, you have GPS, GQ Palace Sports with the Mayor, bringing you the bigger picture, doing a hard body karate, so if you call in, make sure you know your sports when you're dealing with the Mayor. That's every Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m., GPS, GQ Palace Sports. And on Wednesdays, you have Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad, Angie, Rachel, and T, discussing their grown and sexy topics and playing the hottest old and new slow jams and R&B. That's from 7 to 9, Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad on Wednesdays, Angie, Rachel, and T. Then on Thursdays, you have Reality Relationship
with Taylor and Tiffany Belvin. You know, they got a little one coming along, little KL. Hopefully she'll be here before their next show, and they could tell y'all everything about her on Thursdays. That's 8 to 10 Reality Relationships. Then on Fridays, she's right back here with Rich Money on GQ Palace Radio. Don't forget, Sunday, GQ Palace got the big event going on at Club Allure, Queens Boulevard. DJ Coco Chanel, Steph Lover, Jazzy Joyce, Angelo Luciano from A&R Def Jam. GQ Palace will be in the building. We got a lot of people coming through. Elias from Follow Me. We got my man Cass P coming through. Casanova Rudd, you know, we got a lot of people that's supposed to be coming through that night, but it's still going to go down hard body. So make sure you're there at Club Allure, 3201 Queens Boulevard. I want to wish y'all a safe and blessed weekend. Hope to hear from y'all next week. And I am your host, Rich Money. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
For sure.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
What's up, y'all? This is MC Iniquity from Brooklyn, New York. Ain't no party like an old school party, cause an old school party. You're listening to the sounds of Rich Money, GQ Palace. Let's go.
Dancing, never felt this good. I'ma push my luck and maybe knock wood. Baby, you're the little engine who could. Body's on track, caboose is packed. In fact, is what you lack is a man with trap. I ain't a trick, but damn if I throw a fish back. Pops taught me better than that. He said, son, reel him in and let the fun begin. Now, ladies, who you want your man to be like? MC, Iniquity, or the cat named Mike? We could do the dance all night. With your liquor, which lipstick, you're just my type. Come on, sway with me. Party, don't play with me. You know that I'm the one. Temperature rising, son of a gun. Cause I'm a never felt this good. I'ma push my luck and maybe knock wood. Baby, you're the little engine who could. Body's on track, caboose is packed. In fact, is what you lack is a man with trap. I ain't a trick, but damn if I throw a fish back. Pops taught me better than that. He said, son, reel him in and let the fun begin. Now, ladies, who you want your man to be like? MC, Iniquity, or the cat named Mike? We could do the dance all night. With your liquor, wish lipstick, you're just my type. Come on, sway with me. Party, don't play with me. You know that I'm the one. Temperature rising, son of a gun.
Don't make me wait.
Cause I'm a
do my thing. Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. Do my thing.
Dancing, never felt this good. I'ma push my luck and maybe knock wood. Baby, you're the little engine who could. Body's on track, caboose is packed. In fact, is what you lack is a man with trap. I ain't a trick, but damn if I throw a fish back. Pops taught me better than that. He said, son, reel him in and let the fun begin. Now, ladies, who you want your man to be like? MC, Iniquity, or the cat named Mike? We could do the dance all night. With your liquor, wish lipstick, you're just my type. Come on, sway with me. Party, don't play with me. You know that I'm the one. Temperature rising, son of a gun.
Don't make me wait.
Cause I'm a. Yo, what up, peace world? It's your boy Mellow Man Ace, and right now you got it locked up.
Perfect,
GQ Palace Radio.
I'm like Blake Griffin when he's in the paint. It is what it is, can't be what it ain't. I'm like the Beatles came to town, go on faint. Lay there, I'll take your pulse. Cause I'ma make you move like no one else. Cause I do things that are above the norm. I'm a combination of a perfect storm. Good looks, good hooks, good rhymes, and I'm second in line as the best of all time. Do your dance, don't resist it. Pop them balls, let's all get twisted.
Cause I'm a. Hey, it's Kim. On Friday night, I spend my time listening to Rich Money, Love and Entertainment on GQ Palace Radio. It's Butter Baby. Like
an NBA game, second half, I go hard, do the math. I'm on the team cause I made the cut. Other MCs just don't add up. I rock and roll till the break of dawn. I'm not the type of brother that'll steer you wrong. I'm like the hot butter on the what?
Pop.
Jesus butter on the what?
I'm not a witch doctor, but a guarantee. Nobody rocks the house like me. So like proactive all over your face. Let me make it clear, I'm gonna rock this place.
Don't make me wait, don't make me wait.
Cause I'm a,
do my thing.
Cause I'm a,
do my thing. Don't make me wait.
Cause I'm a
Rich Money. Thank you, Palace Radio. Thank you, Love and Peace.